Just waiting for members to log in. I have at least 3 members currently present. We will just give it another 5 minutes for members to log in, and then I will hand over to Chairperson to start the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. We were surprised because we found ourselves as education alone in the meeting, but now at least
have a quorum currently, and I would hand over to you, Chairperson.
Now, good evening to everybody that is in the meeting. Good evening, DM. Good evening to the department. I'm not sure who's leading Western Cape, if they are in the meeting. Good evening to the Western Cape Education Department as well. I believe members are tired. It has been a very long day for everybody. But nonetheless, we just have to pull through. We just have to push through. It's the last week, so it's the hardest week. Can you just do a roll call, Elwin?
Thank you, Chairperson. I have yourself, Honorable Binko Gigaba, Chairperson. I have Honorable Aduens. I have Honorable Morwa Shetla. I have Honorable Fry. I have Honorable Dr. Temi Kwayo. And I have Honorable Sukers currently in the meeting. On the apology side, Chair, I've got one apology, and that is for the Minister, who won't be able to join us this evening due to a family commitment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Can you flag the agenda? Like we said, probably we must really apologize for an hour delay. It was not because we wanted to. Parliament is concluding its budget. It's concluding its budget business. So we had to wait for that program to finish before we start. We were supposed to start at 6, but then we started, I think, at 10 past 7 now. Today we are supposed to get a briefing on the implementation of portfolio committee recommendations on an oversight that we have done in the Western Cape. Members would remember that Western Cape did come, and then I think 2 weeks back we had to return them back because they had submitted late then. And then we are also having the briefing from the department on the fourth quartile report 2021-2022. And then after that, we will, of course, adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. Can I ask members to adopt the agenda?
Honorable Fry will adopt.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fry. Any seconder?
A second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adwons. At this point, let me allow DM. Can I allow you to lead with the political overview, the department?
Chairperson, I'm so sorry to interrupt. It's Llewellyn. We are being broadcast live on most of the platforms, and if possible, that we are requesting that members and presenters, please, if they are able to use their video. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, I think they had all of them. Honorable Adwons, your hand is a delicacy one.
Oh, yes, thank you. No, sorry about it. It's a legacy entry.
Oh, okay. DM?
Good morning. Good evening, Chair. Good evening, members of the Portfolio Committee, officials of the department, the newly elected or appointed MEC from the Western Cape, Honorable David. I don't want to misspell people's name, but it's Mania. It's his first time to be in the meeting, Chair. Remember last time, Western Cape was to return, but we're informed that the MEC...
Recording in progress.
The MEC was not well. So today, he is in the meeting. And in this meeting, the DG, where he is, there's no network, but he said if he can be in a position to join and there's network, he will be part. But we are, the officials are led by Mr. Kuno, the CFO of the department, the DDG, Brian's CFO. So he is the one who's leading. If maybe Chair would not mind, but the other teams of the department are there. Ms. Gaya is on leave, but the acting DDG is Dr. Sithole. He is in the meeting. So the team education is here. Mr. Kuno will tell us who is to present when that time comes. Oh, the DG was in the meeting. I think the system is kicking him out, like I indicated, that way he is. The network is extremely poor. But the Western Cape is here also. I think today they are ready to present. So, Chair, you will guide us who must come first, whether we allow the Western Cape to come first so that we release them after their presentation, or the department first, but it will depend upon the directive of the Chair. But we are here, Chair. The Minister has sent an apology. I don't know whether it reached the office of Mr. Brown. So she did send an apology. So Mr. Brown will indicate if that apology has reached his office. If not, I formally tender that apology on behalf of the minister, which she also indicated that if she finishes earlier, she might join the meeting also. Thank you, Chair. We are here on two issues, like the Western Cape and the fourth quarter report of the department. So over to you. Back to you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much. I think let's allow Western Cape to present for obvious reasons. You know, we're not working with them, and really today we started the meeting later than it was supposed to start. MEC Western Cape, can we welcome you to the meeting? You can probably, when you start to lead the department, probably by just introducing yourself briefly, and then hand over to your officials in the department. And welcome to our meeting.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. My name is David Mania, Deputy Minister. Your pronunciation was perfect. I am the newly appointed Minister responsible for education in the Western Cape. And I have to say it gives me great pleasure to join you this evening in what will be my maiden appearance before your committee. And I'm certainly, together with the department, looking forward to working with you in the future. I'm joined by our Superintendent General, Brent Walters, and of course, Alan Mayer, who will take us through the presentation. So, Chairperson, through you, I'd like to hand over to Brent Walters, who can then take us through, say a few words, and Alan Mayer will take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Good afternoon, all the members. Good evening. My name is Brent Walters. I'm the HOD for Western Cape Education Department. Today we've come to present on what happened in terms of the recommendations made by the Portfolio Committee. Mr. Alan Mayer, our Chief Director for Districts, will do the presentation. But maybe, Chair, just to note from our side, there were nearly 50 matters raised. In fact, 49 matters raised. We'll be reporting back on each one of them. There's one matter that's still in progress. The other matters have either been finalized or they did not require action by the department, as they were just comments. So we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for hosting us here this evening. And without further ado, let me hand over to Mr. Alan Meyer, Chief Director for Districts, who will do the presentation. Thank you.
Good evening, Honourable Member, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Minister Mania, and HOD, and all other respected members of the committee. Do I share the presentation from my side, Llewellyn?
You may do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity to report back to the committee. We appreciate the fact that you've granted us another opportunity to come and present to you on the findings that you had reported to us after your visit to our province earlier this year. Chairperson, as the HOD has indicated, on your visit, you visited 11 schools in the province where 49 matters were raised, and as the HOD has indicated, 48 have been resolved, and one of those cases are in progress. I thought I'd share this slide with you as it indicates the aspects that were lifted out in the reports that you had submitted to us. There were 13 matters that were raised that were related to infrastructure in terms of maintenance of school facilities, as well as the lack of and the quality of sports facilities available at the institutions visited. Also, one aspect around the LSPID budget being applied at the school for the deaf, I think it was raised by the team. And then there were 5 matters around school functionality, which spoke to the principal and the SMT. At one of the schools, a number of matters were raised around that, and we'll report on that. There were also 2 matters raised regarding the incorrect quintile that the school was placed in, and we will indicate in the presentation how we've actually managed to respond to that. There was one query regarding PPE materials, particularly around masks, and that has been addressed as well. And also matters around safety, 5 matters were raised around safety of learners at school, as well as in one of the schools also about a first aid kit that needed to be purchased to ensure, you know, at least first support to learners who are injured on the school playgrounds. There was one matter that was raised around education assistance at the schools, and it's interesting that only one matter was raised, you know, but I think it's an area that is receiving a lot of attention within our department. LTS, learner transport, was raised on 4 matters, and we'll respond to them. Also, there was 3 requests around, or 3 reports around LTS immaterial in terms of textbooks being available to learners at schools. Also, there were 5 matters that were raised around teacher posts at schools, and also linked to that, the matter of overcrowded classrooms and how that was to be dealt with. In terms of ICT, aspects of connectivity of the LAN and the Wi-Fi, 5 matters were raised, and we have responded to them as well. In terms of the NSNP program within the province, refurbishment of the kitchen, as well as food materials to schools where the menu was needed to be supplemented, or more learners had presented themselves to be fed, and we have dealt with that matter as well, Chairperson. The first school that was visited by the team was Agape Special School. And it was the finding there, or the recommendation, was around purpose-fit masks for learners in this particular special school. Our response to it was, Chairperson, that we have allowed schools to purchase masks directly via the school's norms and standards that is allocated to them. A circular to that effect has been sent to all our schools. And so schools can supplement PPE materials from their norms and standards funding they receive from us. The department still procures centrally on the bigger items like the hand sanitizer, the disinfectant, etc. We purchase at a provincial level and we distribute to schools within the province. And that matter, Chairperson, has been resolved. In terms of the augmenting of the school's maintenance budget, our director of infrastructure visited the school, And where there were areas that needed to be fixed urgently, the school, you know, our normal procedures, they log it on CMIS as emergency repairs, and our officials receive that message via the CMIS system, and we then go out and look to repair. And I must let be noted that Agape is a leased facility of ours. It's a facility we lease from an organization, and so therefore it falls outside of the maintenance. You know, the outside of the school must be maintained by the person we are leasing the property from, and so it's their responsibility to fix that. Our infrastructure director has taken up the matter with the landlord, and that has, those maintenance issues will be or have been attended to already. The third finding for Agape was augmenting the school's learner transport budget. The ICLS component had done a survey looking at the replacement of the aging vehicles, but we also found that there were still a number of new vehicles and able to transport 207 learners. And so the school has 6x34-seater buses, two are 2013 models, two are 2017, two are 2018. And those buses were allocated by DICES, the component of the head office, to support the special school in terms of transporting the learners at that particular school. We are satisfied that the buses that we have are sufficient to transport the learners to the specific school. Chairperson, the last recommendation regarding Agape was the upgrading of laptops and computers by the end of the third school term. Chairperson, we have had a look at the program. MWeb provided laptops to some of the teachers and other ICT equipment to the school. The district has also been requested to look at additional ICT needs, and the director of e-learning has been approached, and we are in the process of seeing to provide some additional equipment to the school. So we regard that as also being finalized, Chairperson. Sorry, there's still a last one in terms of the grocery, and the cooking for the preparing of meals. Yeah, the NSNP team has gone into the school to look at, you know, the cooking preparation that needs to be done at the school. Also looking at how the school could assist, how NSNP program could assist the school to purchase lentils and beans. And that was done until the 15th of December 2021. And also our service provider delivered the dry stock to school on the first day when schools reopened. Hence, the school had no food shortages as the service provider transferred funds to the school also to purchase gas on the dates that are mentioned in this presentation. Thank you. We then go to St. Mary's Primary School. The educators needed to employ more teachers to alleviate overcrowding and also filling the acting positions at the school to create stability within the school. The school has a teacher ratio of 1:37, which is below the ratio that we use as 1:40 learners per class. But the addition of a post will result in classes being much lower, with 23 in a class, which would then reduce the ratio into much more favorable ratio, and even because we still have schools that have a much higher ratio, and hence would not necessarily be in a position to provide this school with an additional teaching post. In terms of the stability and the filling of posts, our circuit managers, as well as our other district officials, have been supported in training to support governing bodies, and also governing bodies have been trained to accelerate the process of filling of vacant positions at schools, and we trust that the governing body will work closely with the circuit manager to ensure that these posts are filled timeously and the nominations are made through to the head of education for appointment, depending, of course, on the level of the post. Thank you. Then in terms of the acting positions, as I've indicated, the principal's post was advertised. The process is being was followed. The school governing body needs to advertise the vacant departmental head post. There are, however, teachers appointed at the school either on contract to ensure that the number of the school and the number of posts allocated to the school balances out and that learning is not disrupted. So the posts have been advertised. There is a process that is underway, and the governing body will advertise the various other vacant posts in the vacancy list, as was indicated at the time. And then we'd be able to fill those particular posts. As members would understand, as we fill a head of department post, we then create a vacancy at post level one, which then allows the school to bring in another person at post level one, and in order to assist in the stability and the correct staffing of the school. In terms of support with learner transport, the recommendation, we needed to look at assistance The school does not benefit from the WCD funded learner transport system because we do not have, it's in a metro area in Nyanga, and therefore in terms of our policy, the learners do not qualify for transport within the metro area. Then also what we found was that some of the comments referred to the use of private vehicle arrangements that parents have with taxi drivers, etc., and that some of those vehicles were not necessarily in the kind of state that we would prefer our learners to be traveling in. A program we offered it to all of our schools, and we encourage our schools to do this, is to have the City of Cape Town Metro Police and Traffic Services to do spot checks on parents and companies who fetch learners from schools, to check on the roadworthiness of those vehicles and to ensure that learners are able to travel safely between home and their school. It is not a contract that's linked to the WCED, but it's a service we offer to our schools and our parents to say that in order to ensure your child gets to the school safely, our metro police and our traffic officers are there to inspect these vehicles and check whether they are in a roadworthy condition. Then in terms of the infrastructure upgrades at the school and also additional funding for maintenance, this chairperson is also a leased school, which means that the property belongs to a private landowner. And we then had a look at the work done by the Catholic School Board. The additional windows that open and repairs to existing louvers will be done. And two new mobile classrooms are being built at the school to also deal with the swelling numbers at the school. Then in terms of with an upgraded sporting facilities, the feasibility for development of a new sports field is currently being conducted and is dependent on the availability of groundwater and the quality of that. It's no use, you know, chairperson, to put on a sports field and then the school suffers to paying a hefty water bill to maintain those fields. Again, we always work very closely with other community organizations to support, and also our Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport also would normally assist in establishment of proper school sports fields and also with proper coaches being allocated to schools to assist with coaching of learners at the school. The Nolotando School for the Deaf, chairperson, to support the school in making the school wheelchair and ensure access, you know, to learners in wheelchairs to the school. The director, ICLS, has already given 300,000 towards accessibility improvements at the school. This has been done. Scoping has been done of it. We're also looking at fixing the ceilings and ablution facilities and passages at the school. And there's quite a few other bits of work that has, the works inspector has indicated needs to be done. And that has all been put in process already by the infrastructure team on the ground. In terms of the school, you know, with two additional buses for learners with special needs, we're doing a survey currently for the replacement of vehicles by the WCD. An interim financial allocation has been made for the school, to the school for emergency transport needs. So where the school is in need to transport learners in an emergency, an allocation has been made available to the school to deal with that. I must say, chairperson, honorable members, the purchasing of vehicles, you know, is not a quick and easy process. And we all understand also the delays early in the year with the procurement issues that were raised, and that would also have had an impact on this particular plan. Then in terms of the delivery of groceries for the nutrition program was on time, was adequate and with no shortages. We thank the members for acknowledging that, and the NSVP office and the school was provided with dry and food and perishable for the 178 NSNP learners provided for by the school. But because the enrollment of the school increased from 278 to 293, you know, there is a need to feed more learners, and we will make, and we have made, further adjustments to the feeding numbers at the school. In terms of this visit to Belgravia, thank you to the honorable members who visited the school, and the very positive comments that were shared about the school. The principal and the staff at the school were extremely pleased to hear the comments that the honorable members had made in terms of the functionality of the school, also in terms of the values of the school and the best practices and how they are sharing that, and also the principals and the SMT to working on their strengths, you know, in addressing areas requiring further support. And the district, you know, will continue that with the school as well. Also, the recommendation from the honorable members was that once the principal has retired, that there's also, you know, a need for the current one needs to teach the learners, you know, and the teachers as the current principal has done. And I think that's always something, you know, that we would want to ensure that people who take over at our institutions are born into a culture, build the culture, and make the places of learning safer and better for our children. Chairperson, at Siyazaka Primary School, the issue of school safety was addressed. And here again, in partnership with SAPS, there was visible patrols in the morning when learners leave, and also in the afternoon, there were patrols. The neighborhood watch is also visible around the school, and the school safety officer is part of the school, of the community safety forum, which is a very strong focus. Chairperson, we encourage all our schools to participate with the community safety forums in order to ensure that the safety of the learners is guaranteed not only during the day, but also the security of the facility after hours, you know, is a very important consideration for us. It is a lot cheaper to do a lot more marketing and support around schools so that communities can take ownership of facilities, than to go back later and to replace all the pipes and the electrical wires and the ceilings and the glass that get broken by vandals who have absolutely no respect for that facility. So a lot of work is being done in this area of preventative, you know, kind of measures rather than going back and then fixing, you know, every time. And so this is one of the examples of where the school safety officer, who is also a member of the school safety committee, that is endorsed and supported by the governing body, has to participate in the school safety forum as well. And I must say, Chairperson, we've received great support from SAPS in some of our areas, and in other areas we are still building on those relationships with the local SAPS offices to provide that kind of support. Chair, in terms of the infrastructure and the maintenance channels, challenges at the school, the school's maintenance committee is attending to the minor defects that are in the management plan. The school received corrective maintenance work to the ablution facilities in 2020-21 financial year. And then the school is to receive scheduled maintenance in the 2023 and 2024 financial year. So there is a plan towards that, Chairperson, and that will be, and the department is committed to ensuring that maintenance, scheduled maintenance happens in 2023 and 2024 again. In terms of the parking area, provides for safety of visitors and staff. A works inspector visited the site and checked the school's parking area is safe for visitors and staff, but there is a need for additional parking bays. The school is leveling the ground at the back of the wall in order to provide additional parking. And so the school has taken up the challenge of providing additional parking space for visitors and staff at the school. Then, to ensure that learners are engaged in sport as an intervention against social ills, the district sports coordinator, sports school enrichment officer, has engaged with schools to support them with the introduction of cricket, baseball, chess, netball, and soccer. We also work very closely with the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport, where we have a mod program where learners participate in math-based sporting opportunities. We have a system of where we have neighboring schools sharing resources with other schools, you know, where coaches then move around between schools to also offer proper sports coaching to learners. We agree that sport, you know, does assist in reduction of social ills, you know, and it's something that we strive for within our schools as well. This matter has been addressed at Siyazaka. Then in terms of initiatives like Adopt the Cop, as indicated in collaboration with SAPS, will attend to this matter. Safe School is currently supporting the school with an alarm extension. And of course, substance abuse training is also being offered via our Safe Schools offices. The alarm extension is really just around target hardening, you know, the physical kind of infrastructure issues. But the relationship with SAPS is the more important one in ensuring that they pop in at the school in the mornings, you know, have a more visible presence around the school precinct will also assist in reduction of that. And here that matter is at hand with the Safe Schools component as well as SAPS in addressing these concerns at the school. In terms of Vusi Sizwe Secondary School Chairperson, the school has been added to the priority list for assistance and support with ICT and connectivity. Chair, to report, the school will be upgraded to a higher speed of connectivity, that is 200 megabits per second. Currently, the school was at 10 megabits per second, so you, Chairperson, you will understand that's quite a significant increase in the speed connectivity at the school. Interconnectivity through the local area network has been assessed and implementation within the financial year 2023-2024. The school will be added to the local area network. The school has a mini PC ICT suite for of 2018, and the school does not offer CAT or IT or EGD, which would have compelled us to have a full ICT laboratory at the school if the school offered those specific subjects. The current link speed to broadband is 1 gigabyte fiber link. The school local area networks was signed off last year, November 2021, and no broadband was available due to a breach that collapsed, and Liquid Technologies is our service provider, confirmed that they picked up additional fiber damage in the mine hole closer to the school. The principal reported that connectivity has been restored towards the end of March of this year. According to the district's e-learning projects facilitator, the school recently has been earmarked as a SLAN, a school with a local area network. And the school will be equipped with mobile smart room, smart classroom equipment, most probably within the current financial year still, to enhance the capability at the school. Chairperson, in terms of the appointment of qualified personnel to test learners who have difficulty with reading and writing for proper evaluation of these learners, a better plan for intervention strategies is needed. Chairperson, we have learning support educators within the district office. And this has been there, you know, for quite a while, and support to our schools, not only primary, but also high school. And so this learning support educator visits the school every Wednesday to support grade 12 learners with language and reading and comprehension across the curriculum. We have also indicated to the learning support educator to try and also reach other learners at the school, but you will appreciate, Chairperson, that we need to first address the grade 12 learners, and this program is in place at the school, and it's working in the sense that we're having grade 12 learners coming as well, you know, for touching up on language and reading with comprehension and giving them that kind of skills to be able to do better in their subjects. In terms of PJB Kona Primary School, the school is adequately equipped with emergency first aid kits for any eventuality. I mentioned this earlier. The principal reported to Safe Schools that Safe Schools delivered a first aid kit to the school during March already. The school has also, from its own funds, equipped and upgraded another 2 first aid kits at the school as well. And so I think, again, the district responded, or Safe Schools responded, but the school also responded in getting 2 additional first aid kits for learners at the school. Then, Chairperson, in terms of the post-provisioning for the school, to review the school's post-provisioning norm and how many teachers the school was entitled to, including the number of conversions. Then in terms of the school's 2022 establishment, Chairperson, which was based on 984 learners, the school had been allocated 30 educators, resulting in a ratio of 1:32.8. The WCDE can confirm that the school's staff establishment is correct, and staff establishments for 2023 will only be issued in August of this year, Chairperson, and so we regard this matter as also being finalized. Chair, in terms of ensuring that the school needs assistance with network and ICT connectivity and Wi-Fi, the school local area network was signed off in August 2016. All access points are online. The problem appears to be a load shedding issue. No open calls were logged by the school. The principal reported that connectivity has been restored during March, April of 2022. Chairperson, one must pause here for a second. The issue of load shedding impacts particularly on ICT equipment, as you are well aware, honorable members. that when a computer switches off unnaturally, not going through the proper closing procedure, you know, as you normally when you switch it off on the power of the lap of the computer, it then powers down, you know, in a very systematic and ordered way. But if it suddenly gets cut, as is the case with load shedding, particularly the servers at the school in the computer lab and in the principal's offices, it does cause a bit of challenge in getting those machines back up, you know, with everything intact. And sometimes we do find that there are some connectivity issues after a load shedding period. Chair, in terms of the school kitchen receiving necessary renovation and refurbishment, a works inspector found that apart from the kitchen, the school is in a reasonably fair condition and doing well at maintaining all the infrastructure related issues. It was indicated the school should use their norms and standards for all minor maintenance issues. Normally in the school's budget and the norms and standard that we support the school with, we indicate that 25% of the budget must be used for infrastructure maintenance and support at the school. And when we collect the 043s at the end of the term, we're always checking to see whether the school had actually used the norms and standard, you know, to also do the minor repairs. The school is waiting for quotations for flooring and the refurbishment of two of the sinks there. And approval for installing a security gate will be discussed at an SGB meeting, which was scheduled for May earlier this year. We can report that that meeting had taken place, Chairperson. Then further, to assist with the procurement of updated ICT equipment, this will be reviewed in terms of the ICT budget of the provincial office. By 2018, the school was issued with a 100 meg fiber line, 10 smart classroom boards, equipment, a teacher's laptop, projectors, magnetic whiteboards, e-beam and visualizers, and 20 mini PCs. The district's e-learning project facilitator reported that the school's ICT equipment will not be updated soon. There's a program that we normally follow, Chairperson, and this was last issued in 2018 and therefore will only be refreshed at a period, I think, still to be determined in the future. And, of course, very much budget-related. Then, in terms of the shortages of LTSM, Chairperson, the LTSM unit conducted an investigation at the school to ensure that all textbook orders have been delivered to the school. The district found that all learners have access to the required textbooks and also found that no workbook shortages existed. The textbooks ordered from the suppliers were delivered, and the school is in the process of ordering textbooks for 2023. So it's an indication that everything was actually at the school, but not necessarily available to the members on that particular day, as was found by our officials who visited the school as well. Chairperson, the matter around the extra EAs, the school has a teacher-learner ratio of 1:32 with two classes with an average of 40 learners. Chair, the school needs to apply for conversions in order to ensure that the posts are filled on a permanent basis. The school also has an educator in every post allocated to the school, but must finalize the application for conversions of educators in the contract post. During the second term of 2022, the principal reported the school has been allocated 17 assistants, 12 educator assistants and 5 general workers. And I think the school is very pleased with the allocation of these general assistants and educator assistants at the school. Chair, in terms of Pioneer School for the Blind, the school was to benefit fully from the ELSPID grant for learners who qualified. The Pioneer Company does not have learners who qualified for funding in terms of the ELSPID conditional grant. There's very specific requirements, I've been told by my colleagues in that particular space. And they've checked the records of the school, and there's not one learner that qualifies for in terms of that conditional grant for an allocation. Chair, in Kingazetu, school was also visited, and there's the recommendation to engage with the school to get a level where there's improvement in the institution. Again, here there was an issue around infrastructure. The work inspector conducted a condition assessment and found the school's building in a fair condition, and the school is not tending to all the infrastructure-related work as per the requirement of the norms and standard allocation, as I indicated earlier, the 25%. The district will monitor the school's budget allocation and ensure that the infrastructure issues are addressed at the school. A second one also regarding infrastructure at Itwengazeto, sanitation, proper fencing, receives attention within 90 days of adoption of the report, conducted the conditioning, found that the school buildings are in a fair condition and the school is not tending to the infrastructure-related issues. The district will monitor the school's budget allocation to ensure infrastructure issues are addressed. The school fence that needs repair is a result of the community selling food to learners. The management was requested to address this, so we have a number of people who normally line up outside the fences of our schools, you know, and there's pushing and shoving by learners against the fence, causing, you know, breakages in the fence, but also sometimes maliciously people cut it so they can pass through goods through the fence to learners at the school. This is being addressed by the district. The district has spoken to the management, and they've been requested to address that particular matter. Then in terms of the building of a new school, mobile classroom, receives attention for the building of a new school or mobile classroom. The works inspector conducted the condition assessment and found that the school buildings are in a fair condition, but the school is not tending to it as indicated earlier. We will monitor the school's budget allocation also to ensure that the infrastructure issues are addressed. There's not a view at this point in time that mobile classroom will be placed on that particular site, Chairperson. Then in terms of the lack of facilities for rural learners and sports facilities that require and receives attention, again, the works inspector had found the buildings in a fair condition. The development of appropriate sports fields will be attended to when another new school is built, and that, unfortunately, I do not have a date and a time frame for you as yet, as we are still in the planning phases of that Chairperson. Then also one relating to the dealing of drugs and dealing with drug abuse and safety and security at the school. The ICLS component and safe school staff is arranging interventions at the school. This has been done previously and will continue. The CPF has also been engaged to assist the school in this particular area. Chair, it's not a problem specifically to bring us here to again. I'm saying, you know, the role of the CPF is pivotal and neighborhood watches in supporting our schools to address this, and a message we're sharing with all of our schools. In terms of vandalism and theft being addressed, the matter was addressed by the circuit manager and the stakeholders involved, which is your SAPS and local neighborhood watches, etc. The theft of school doors was reported to SAPS, but no one has been arrested as yet. Safe Schools is supporting and has granted holiday security to the school, and currently new cases of theft or vandalism were reported at the school. And then again, I say it's with support of neighborhood watches and the CPFs and SAPs in the communities that we are able to turn this around. We do not wish in our schools to come back from holidays with the rooms being vandalized during the vacation in particular. The principal works with the support of the SMT and the school governing body. The circuit manager is supporting the new principal and his management team. It's always a challenge when somebody comes in, you know, that there are some issues with SMT, perhaps it's with people who also applied for the same position, etc. And it takes a bit of settling down, but we are fortunate to have a seasoned circuit manager in that area to support the new principal and his management team. Chair, then in terms of a culture of late coming to be addressed at the school, no late comings of learners transported by the buses is experienced anymore. Interventions to curb late coming by the school include establishing a late coming committee, class teachers addressing the issue during register classes, addressing late coming during assemblies, keeping record of latecomers at the gate of the school, home visits being done to follow up on serious latecomers, address latecoming at parents' meetings, and the code of conduct is in the process to be amended to include the rules for latecoming and the impact on that on a learner for arriving too late at the school. So those measures have been put in place, Chairperson. Then Chairperson, also on Iklingazetu, the circuit manager deals with the management. If there's no support, the school will not improve. As indicated, the circuit manager is supporting the new principal and his management team as he settles in his new position as well. In terms of Woolsley Secondary School, Chairperson, that the school is supported with a nutrition program as learners come from very poor farm communities. There was no application for NSNP received from the school. The district is assisting the principal, you know, to submit an application on behalf of the school for nutritional program to be run at the school. And that is in process, Chairperson, with approvals needing to come through the system, through to the provincial office. Secondly, for Woolsley, the discrepancy in the quintile of the school to be reviewed within a reasonable time frame. The school did not apply to have the quintile reviewed and is currently in the process of doing so with the assistance of the district office. Chairperson, I can also report, as indicated by our previous MEC in the house, that an additional, I think it is 160 schools that have been, that will be converted to no fee schools, is planned for this year. And I'm not quite sure where this particular school is on that list. But it will be open for schools to be able to apply. So there is still time for the school to ensure that that application comes in for a change in the fee, in the no fee status of the school. Ensure that the school is supported to address challenges related to numeracy and literacy so that learners transition to grade 9, weak foundation in two subject areas are reinforced. Ongoing support is provided through our provincial strategy that is focused on numeracy and literacy. The district is developing a comprehensive action plan with the departmental heads of the school. That plan is in place. Literacy and numeracy focus is very strong in supporting these learners. And of course, the district is there to support the teachers with very hands-on and practical experiences to improve their competence in the classroom in supporting numeracy and literacy as well. Then, that the department dissolved the quintile system at quintile 5 classification at Lingomso. No application was also received from this school. The school opted to set their school fees at R0. The school is now is part of the targeted schools to receive an application to become a no-fee school in 2023 school year. In terms of the NS allocations, they receive an allocation for a quintile 5 school, supplemented by a top-up allocation to equal the no-fee threshold per learner. The district is awaiting the application from the school to become a fully no-fee school I think this is the Winelands district. Chair, then, in terms of the department addressing the connectivity and Wi-Fi at the school, Lingomso Primary School received a connectivity subsidy from the WCDA office, and therefore it's incumbent on the school to facilitate their last mile connectivity using a local internet service provider of their choice. No further broadband implementation can take place until the procurement of a new broadband contract is put in place at the provincial level. So we do pay a subsidy to the school. The school is responsible to get a service provider to provide them with Wi-Fi for the last mile to the school to have that available at the school. Ensure that the department looks into issues of costs so that learners are provided with the necessary teachers. Additional posts were not allocated to the school in 2022, as the school's learner ratio is not above 1:40. The current ratio at the school is 1:40, and so therefore within the range that has been set by the province. Ensure that learner transport is reviewed as per circumstances of learners within a reasonable time frame. Application for inclusion of 126 learners on the LTS Route 701. Was received on 17th of February, served at the bus committee on the 2nd of March, and has been approved. The school has applied for additional learners, and that submission is prepared for final approval. Then, in terms of Lungomso, the SNAP server and SEVIS system is fully complied. The district is to assist the school in relation to the management of learners on SEVIS, and the sign-up on the SNAP surveys, shortages of resources, will then be meaningfully resolved. So the data, the importance of capturing of the data is also reinforced by the circuit manager having to sign off on, for example, the SNAP survey as well as the school interim monitoring as well to ensure that all of those measures are being maintained correctly on the SEMA system is of importance. Chair, then in terms of Lingomso as well, that the school is supported with the issue of insufficient textbooks. The school is in the process of ordering textbooks for 2023, and I can say that that process has concluded and all of that orders have been placed for 2023. Chairperson, that is our presentation. Thank you very much for your time and for the listening of the members. If there are any questions, Chairperson, we will try and field them. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thanks, HOT, and thank you, MEC. It looks like it's finalized a lot of the issues. Members, that's the presentation from the Western Cape. I think let's just deal with them so that we can be able to release them. There is a hand of Honorable Sukers. Over to you, Masukers. Please just put on your video. We are live, and then you'll be followed by Honorable Adwans. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciated. I want to firstly thank the department for giving the brief around what they have done in terms of what the committee has highlighted. I have a few, my questions really has to do with issues that I really need the department's attention and intervention with. We are having issues in the Helderberg area specifically, and I'll highlight a specific school, Strand Senior Secondary School, that my office received complaints and calls for intervention from parents and from community members in regard to the issues of school safety. Now, I really need the department to assist with this intervention. And during the constituency period, I would be at these schools, specifically at Strand Senior Secondary School. There is no more sporting activities at the school. And the reason for that is because of the violence that marks sporting events. And this is a school that had talented sportsmen that came from it. Certainly young men that went and became Springboks has been part of the school. And so the heritage of the school and the history of the school has been tarnished with the violence and interference that obviously is an overlap from what's going on in the community. So I would appreciate it if this issue, together with the department, and I have dealt with the department very successfully, certainly in the last couple of weeks, that makes me very hopeful that we would be able to work at a solution for the school, because we need an urgent intervention, and I cannot overstate that. We really need an urgent intervention. We have teachers that in a meeting has said that they fear for their lives. So the issue is very serious. Then in terms of the same area in Helderberg area, we have an issue where the four schools that primary schools that are reliant on the sports fields together with the community, the sports field there, they do not have any access to that sport field because of the violence and the gangsterism in the area. We need a high-level intervention, and we need an intervention around facilities for these schools to continue with sporting activities in order to keep young people off the streets. Now, these schools, again, that area has and if anyone in the department is familiar with Helderberg, it has a rich rugby history. And it is een van die maniere hoe kinders natuurlik van die straat gehou word en uit gangsterism uit. At the moment, the only fields that that constituency has, like I said, is vandalized. The two other fields are in the previously advantaged areas, let me put it that way. Charles Morkel, and then you have Gordons Bay. When the schools need to make use of these fields, either it's not available to them, or they need to pay I think 2,500 for access to the field. Now, we really need an intervention with the department, and I'm bringing this to your attention because this is one of the constituencies that I am very familiar with, and that my office is dealing with a myriad of issues that comes with especially education. I am so thankful that we have Mr. David Mania here, and I want to congratulate him on his appointment. It is my sincere wish that this committee will continue to have you in our meetings in order to honor the constitutional mandate of this committee in terms of our oversight. Because there are many issues that one of them that I want to highlight in terms of what I've said, which is issues of inequality, really that affects our schools, is the issue around the placement of learners. We've had learners in the middle of February still that the department had to assist us to place these learners. One of the issues there has really touched my heart in terms of how long it took us to place a learner that stays in an area like Macassar, and then the learner looks for a placement. And I'm speaking to people that knows the Western Cape, so I'm mentioning these names to illustrate the point. The learner lives in Macassar, that we are struggling to find a placement for the learner. No, the mother did not apply outside of the deadline period. She applied within it. She didn't get a child in the school. Now, I'm using the one learner to mark a few learners that we try to get into school. That same learner gets placement through the department and the intervention of my office. The learner gets placed into Strand Secondary School, from Macassar to Strand Secondary School. So now this mother is paying to get a child with two taxis to Strand Secondary School. Why? Because the schools that are closer to her area, that are in Somerset West, where she applied for all those schools, doesn't take her learners in. And I asked the Western Cape, tell me why. What is the learner ratio in these schools? And I learned the school that they've placed the learner in has got a learner ratio that goes almost to 40. The schools that said no, in between, that is closer to Macassar, closer to the learner's home, has got a lower learner ratio in the class. We need to address these issues, really address it. And I am not, I am sensitive to the issues that, yes, there is many issues that informs this. But the issue of inequality in the Western Cape, particularly because I'm from the Western Cape, I will highlight it in that way. We need to address it so that all children get a fair chance to go into school and the school that is closest to their home, regardless of in which area that school is. I just want to raise these things, Chairperson. I'm very thankful the department is here. And lastly, I want to say I have had a very good interaction with the department in the last couple of weeks, as I've said. And so I am very hopeful, as they've done with this presentation, we will be able to address with these issues that I've raised. Thank you.
Honorable Atwan.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Okay. Let me also take this opportunity and appreciate the presentation that we have received from the Western Cape Department of Education, and also responding positively to, you know, our request and the work that we have done in the Western Cape as the portfolio committee. Chair, I don't have many questions because I believe that Honorable Sukias also covered me on some of the questions, but I recall on some of the challenges that we encountered or came across when we were doing the oversight was the issue of the admissions in school. I would want to get a feeling of how far are you with addressing that challenge, because there was a high number of learners that were not admitted the time we were in the Western Cape due to various reasons that some of the reasons Honorable Sukers has mentioned, the issues of inequalities, racism and the likes. And also the issue of dropouts. I think in some of the schools, they were also experiencing a huge number of dropouts, mainly on girls. It might be because of pregnancies. But if maybe we can get a feel on how those also that was addressed, or what is the status currently because of
there was that kind of a challenge in some of the schools, mainly in high schools. Chair, when we went to the St. Mary's, I think I just want to pass this one just to represent the school, because they were requesting that as the portfolio committee we address this issue. They were concerned about their school grounds or sports facilities. I think it's St. Mary's Primary School, that they need assistance. They've been writing, they've been requesting the department to assist. They've been requesting other donors to donate maybe money for them to revamp their sports facilities. Maybe if they can look into their budgets and also assist that school. But Chair, let me just pause there. And or the last one, it's on the issue of the male-dominated senior managers in the office of the MEC. Would want to hear from the new MEC if you are going to change the status quo, because we believe that there's a need to change also to have women representing at the senior or high level of management, including young people. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Dr. Tambagwai, thank you, Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can't be able to switch on my video because of connectivity problems that I'm anticipating. But I just want to, even though I was not part of the oversight, but in connection with St. Mary's Primary School, the presenter gave us the information in connection with ensuring that the extra educators are appointed with the acceptable reason to say it's for the purpose of alleviating overcrowding. But he hasn't given us the time framework to say when will the appointment of extra educators be done, including the filling of the vacant posts in the school. And then the second one, I just would like to know, during the last time when the Western Cape Department of Education was presenting to us, I had an issue which I was supposed to present to, I don't know whether it was Mr. Walters, the one who gave us a number that we would in actual fact call and report that particular program. Particular problem. And unfortunately, when I tried to call him, when I tried to call that number or send SMS, no WhatsApp, the person never ever made some attempts at least to acknowledge my messages or try to respond to me. He did not do that. As such, I would like to have an update on Peter Langefeld Primary School, which is in the Cape Winelands district, where the teachers are experiencing intimidations, including victimization from the said principal. The staff has reached out to the seniors, but to date, in actual fact, that problem hasn't been solved. Taking into consideration that the staff's role in a particular given school is to educate the kids. But what is happening there is more on the fight or the differences between the staff that is there, and it has definitely has a negative impact. So because I didn't receive any response from the number that was given to us, I would like to have an update today and now. Thank you.
Honorable Fry. Honorable Adwans, can you remove your hand and Honorable Sukers, or are you cut, or what, your hands?
Chairperson, with your indulgence, if it's done, if I, there's one question I failed to ask, Chair.
Honorable Fry, can you proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to my previous colleagues who raised the questions. And through you, Chair, I'd like to thank Mr. Mayor and the Western Cape Education Department for coming here at this late hour and presenting to us. I, of course, was not at the oversight visits because I'm a new MP, and I can just comment on the project, the presentation before me. I have a few questions about safety in schools, especially looking at Intinga Zetu Secondary School, slides number 37 and 38, where we talk about drug abuse, safety, and security, and we talk about vandalism and theft. I'm concerned that we say in the follow-up responses that these issues have been finalized. I know of at least two other schools in the Cape Town Metro, and it's sad that we have to talk about vandalism and theft across the nation in schools, where schools should be a safe place for learners to learn, a safe place for teachers to teach. Yet it's unfortunately it's glaringly obvious and vague and apparent that this is not the case in our nation. I would like to know, what does this follow-up response finalized mean when we're looking at drug abuse, safety and security, vandalism and theft in our schools? Because clearly these interventions need to be ongoing, and they need to be monitored consistently, and they need to be monitored fiercely in order to make sure that our teachers and our learners are safe at schools. So my logic tells me that this cannot be finalized. This cannot be just put aside on a presentation and say, well, we've dealt with it. We've had some interventions, and now it's finalized. I don't think that it's right, and I don't think that is that does our education system justice. So I'd like to know, what does finalized mean, and what is the ongoing interventions for drug abuse, combating of drug abuse, safety and security, and vandalism and theft in our schools? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Fry. Honorable Sukers.
Thank you, Chair. I really appreciate your indulgence with this one. I just need to know from Mr. Mania, I have a case that poses very serious concerns. My apologies, I forgot to switch on my video. Raises serious concerns over expulsion procedures not being followed correctly. And that no special procedures are in place for learners with special needs where disciplinary issues may be related to their special needs. I have a particular case that I would like to bring to the attention of the department, and the case, however, has a few other similar scenarios of learners that has been expelled from the school, and it seems we are not following procedures both from the department side, and because the department deals with the expulsions, and also procedurally from the school side. So I want to ask that Mr. Mania, the case that I will bring before him, if he can as well tonight just speak on the expulsion procedures that is followed by the department, and how learners, especially learners with special needs, how the issues in terms of behavior is addressed with them when it is linked to their special needs. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Sukers. Those are the ends then for the interrogation in the Western Cape Education Department. Can I then allow you, MEC, to lead the responses?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand over to our head of department, Brent Walters, and to Alan Mayer to respond to the questions, and then I will supplement that at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the questions. I think between Alan Mayer and myself, we'll try to answer as many of them as possible. So maybe just to start with the last question, which is in relation to expulsions. So to indicate that there's a set procedure for expulsions. In fact, we just had workshops in one of the regions in relation to the set procedures. There are no separate procedures for special schools. Expulsion remains expulsion for any school. It's the same process. So obviously when the case is heard, evidence will obviously be brought. If there are special behavioral issues that affect learners with special needs, and that will be taken into account in relation to those hearings. Remember that expulsion processes are run by SGBs, and SGBs then make a recommendation to the head of department to expel or not. Many times, the head of department is unable to expel because the processes have not been followed, and the person who is, in inverted commas, the accused, the rights of that person has been infringed. And we have a committee of four people at the offices who deal with making a recommendation to the head of department to expel or not expel. So after having applied my mind independently to each case, and I get about three or four of them a week, that has been a pattern in the past year. After having looked at that, we then make a recommendation. They make a recommendation, and then I make a decision. That decision is recorded, and the parties are informed accordingly. The parties also, the person who is being expelled or disciplined or whatever you want to call it, chairperson, that person then has an opportunity to appeal to the MEC, the minister, if they're unhappy with the decision. And I know that the minister is considering one or two appeals that have come about recently. So he's on the minister's table right now. But I think essentially to say with things with expulsion is it's quite the processes are quite strict. For example, the principal shouldn't be in the hearings. There are very many processes that are there in relation to expulsions, so they're just on expulsions. I do want to say just on the question of finalization of some of the matters. So that was Masukas was the person who asked that question. So Mr. Fryan, the question of, you know, when we say a matter is finalized, it doesn't mean obviously we haven't made all our schools safe and therefore the matter is finalized. I think it's in relation to what we've written finalized is where a specific matter has been raised with us. We specifically have indicated the action that we have taken within our powers. And then that is what we mean when we say finalized. It's not that we mean the matters of safety are never finalized. There are lots of issues in relation to safety all over. So it's just to basically say that the meaning of that word finalized means that the department exercises power as far as it could on the issue and regards that as finalized. However, issues of drug abuse, safety, security, and all the other matters that you raise in your question, they remain a daily reality for all of our schools. And some schools more than others, depending where they are. I think then, as Mr. Mayer will probably indicate in his response, we have the safety committees. We're working with the Department of Community Safety. We have the safe schools. We connect to the SAPs. We connected with all the agencies who potentially could help us in relation to making sure that our learners are safe. As regards the question on Peter Langeveld, I don't think it was me that you raised the issue of Peter Langeveld. However, because I went on my emails now to just check anything about Peter Langeveld, I have a complaint registered 14th May from someone about Peter Langeveld, and that has been referred for investigation into the department. So maybe you could just raise the matters with me again, because if it was an email, we would have responded. It's not on my email, so maybe perhaps it wasn't me that had indicated that. But ma'am, if I can just ask, perhaps that you send that through to the email. I will give my email address and to the committee organizer, and then we can follow it up in terms of our issues. So then also to move on to the question it was asked in relation to placement of learners. So what I want to say on this matter is that the department is also at the mercy of, let me first say, the responsibility to actually make an application to place a learner is the parent's responsibility. And I can only speak about the past year as to what happened. When we closed applications, there were still literally tens of thousands of applications that came after the closing date. And even in the new year, after 1 January, in the current year that we're in, more than 16,000 applications came after 1 January for placement. So placement is a big issue for our province, because we have growing population inside the province, and the demand for places, we grow at about the rate of between 18 to 20,000 learners per annum. And so therefore we do our best to be able to place learners. So that's the one issue. Second issue is that many parents just try and get into what we call schools of choice. And we have 1,523 schools. And then basically it's a situation of they try to get into those schools. There are not enough places. The schools are oversubscribed. So maybe I can give you the stats, for example, for the current year. In other words, the applications for next year. But just to give an example, there are schools where we've got 200 places and 3,000 people have applied for places in those schools. We have schools like that. So then it becomes the issue of how we can actually match and place to where we have actual space. But I think the major headline in relation to placement is to say that every child will be offered a place. That essentially is how we would deal with that matter. Okay, so that's the issue on placement. Then Mr. Meyer also dealt with safety. And maybe you can add, I see Mr. Lewis is also in the meeting, so he can also add to some of the issues. I think the issue about Strand Secondary and the sport issues and so on, perhaps we can say that we probably just need to go into that in a little bit more detail, Ms. Soekers. You can provide us with the detail. We certainly will take up the question of no access to the sports field. I'm not sure what you said in the meeting, whether who owns that sports field. Is it municipal owned? Is it a privately owned sports field? Is it who owns the sports field? So to go into that, maybe you have raised it with us, and I know you do have access to the department. You have met with us before, and so we will take up those issues that you have raised. But those are my answers. I'm going to ask Mr. Lewis and then Mr. Meyer to also add to the answers. Mr. Lewis, over to you. Sorry, Chairperson, Mr. Lewis is our DDG. I think you joined the meeting a little bit late. Mr. Lewis, your hand is up.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Can I? I'm not going to deal with all the issues that my colleagues have already raised, but I just want to touch on one or two of them.
Mr. Lewis, can I ask you if you are in a all right space to just open up your video? Oh, okay. Thank you.
That's fine, ma'am. Yes. Let me start with the Honorable Doctor's question about Peter Langeveld. Chair, if you can recall, you know, I was leading that delegation of that meeting where this matter came up. The name Peter Langeveld was not mentioned in that meeting. The Honorable Doctor said that there's a matter that she will share with me and she will do it separately, and I gave my number at the end. I can confess here that I haven't received any message around this matter to such an extent that I'm willing to hand over my phone to be analyzed, you know, whether I have received such a message or not. But seeing that the matter is now with the SG, I do not know what is the content or the ingredients of that matter. I will follow it up with the SG's office and see what it is. just a matter around the safety of schools. We must understand that the department's core function is education. And the issues of safety at our schools and criminality and violence and theft and you name it, you know, is a matter that is actually a community bound illness that spreads into the school setup, and then we as educators, over and above the fact that we need to educate and teach our children, must also deal with safety issues. It doesn't happen at all the schools. There are pockets in the province where we have severe criminality around our schools. We know more or less where they are. And we've got a small budget in the department. It's a budget of about 34 million rand to deal with all these issues. That budget is insufficient, especially when it comes to the call of schools on security at schools. We cannot provide security to all the schools, unfortunately not. Sometimes we can do it during the day, or sometimes we can offer it during the night, depending the context and the situation. But we really work with our schools around a range of stakeholders to assist the safety of our learners and teachers at our schools. The first one, of course, is the School Safety Committee, which we establish at the school, at all schools. And that School Safety Committee also include members of the community, and by reaching out in that way, we hope to get the community involved in protecting the school. There's the CPFs, there's SEPs, and then, of course, what I'm saying, the Safer Schools program, where we assist schools financially, you know, to augment their norms and standards funding, to either put in alarms at the schools or where it is really unsafe to put at least 2 security guards at the school. For some schools, 12 hours, for some schools in certain areas on a 24-hour basis. So the issue of safety at our schools will only be resolved when we can deal with criminality and the safety of citizens within a community. The other matter that was raised was the general matter was of sports fields at schools. The education department has established a sports facility at all the schools in the province at some time of its history. And every new school that we build normally gets either a soccer field or rugby field, depending on what codes of sports the school exercises, a netball or hockey field, you know. It's there. The challenge is not the provision of the facility. The challenge in most parts of our communities is to sustain that facility. And part of the inability to sustain that facility is the cost, especially of municipal services. And in this sense, I'm referring to water. Our schools cannot afford to sustain and maintain the sport facilities. And over time, those facilities, you know, nothing gets of it, you know. And then, of course, your sports and extramural activities suffer under that. The SG mentioned the issue of placement. I think it's improving. Yes, we had a few cases this year. It's improving. I think at this stage, all our learners have been placed that knocked on our door. And we are busy resolving this so that if we don't resolve it completely but minimize the impact of learners not being placed come January 2023. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mayor, is there anything you wish to add?
Yes, Chairperson. Yes, SG. Is my video on screen, Chair?
We can see you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh. Thank you, Chairperson. Just to update on the Peter Langeveld matter, the district have gone into the school, Honorable Member Dr. Tembakwayo, the district office director as well as the circuit manager, has had three interview sessions at the school already. They are now in day four of the investigation at the school. They've met with various sectors of the staff. They are still to meet with the governing body of the school, whereafter we will then produce a report to indicate the outcome of those investigations. But as Mr. Lewis has indicated, it's a matter that is receiving attention. We received the matter as the HOD had indicated, and we have started the investigation, and as indicated, we are on day four of that investigation. Honorable Sukers, the issues at Strand Secondary School, Mr. Lewis and myself, as the DDG and the Chief Director, also took two circuit managers with us to Strand Secondary, I think it was in last year, to visit the school to go and see for ourselves, you know, what is actually going on at the school. And what you have indicated is a true reflection, you know, of what is happening within that broader Strand community around gangsterism and also drugs within that, that is very prevalent within that community. We have repaired the fence to that school, I think, more times than I can quote in this meeting, Honorable Sukers. That fence has been repaired. It has been broken down. It has been repaired. And so, therefore, you know, it makes it very difficult for the department to go in on a continuous basis to try and fix, you know, and then we have community members breaking down again the fence. I think as the HOD has indicated, it's a broader discussion. I will raise the matter at the provincial joints meeting around the safety within that area. I'm the chairperson for the school safety committee on the provincial joints. And so I will take this matter to the provincial joints as well to raise the concerns as you have raised also about the gangsterism and the drugs within that particular community, and ask that the community policing forum plays a more active role, you know, in supporting the school to mitigate, you know, incidences of violence at the school. I can also say, Chairperson, that we had some issues with the appointment of a principal at that school. It took some time for us to be able to appoint a principal at that school. We have successfully done that, and then unfortunately the principal took early retirement, and so therefore we're back in the process of having to fill that particular position. And as you are aware, the other members are aware, you know, it does take a bit of time to get a good principal in at a school, you know, like that with all of those challenges. Chair, those are the ones I thought I just needed to touch on. Just to give Honorable Adwins just some feedback regarding St. Mary's. And there was a question on the teaching post. The new establishments will only be issued in August of this year, when we will then allocate posts again to schools for the 2023 school year. So, but I do commit that I will go around to the school myself as well within the next week and just go and see what is going on. And I will, you know, just give some feedback to the HOD's office on that visit to the school. Chair, I think all the other questions have been covered, and I just thought I wanted to raise those ones as well for clarity. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much. Are you still coming, MEC?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that more or less concludes our responses, save for three issues. On the whole question of the committee, I can assure members that I certainly will be joining the department in future meetings. And as I said in my opening remarks, I certainly look forward to getting to know all the members of the committee and working with the committee in the future. On my office, I can certainly assure members that when it comes to to males. We are in a very small minority in our office, but I'm sure what the member was referring to was probably the department, and that's certainly a matter that I will look into and discuss with the SG. On expulsions, the SDG did touch on the expulsion process, but in relation to the specific matter that was raised, to the extent that there might be unhappiness about the process, it might be useful for the Honourable Member to remind the complainants that they are entitled to appeal expulsion decisions, and as the SG has pointed out, I'm currently reviewing two expulsion decisions. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me see. Okay. There's a follow-up from Dr. Tembekoyo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to thank Alan Mayer for the precise update. That definitely is satisfying. I'm satisfied with the update that I got from him. And to say to him, your presence in the Western Cape will definitely yield very positive results. Thank you for that. And I'm not going to write anything for any other person, because I'll be disturbing the process that is still ongoing. Thank you, Chan.
Okay. Is that not a patronage? Okay. No, thank you very much. DM, I'm not sure if there's anything that you'd want to say with regards to Western Cape, or can we allow them to?
No, Chair, I think I'm covered the way they responded. We want to thank the MEC of Western Cape and the team for having responded to all the issues that the Portfolio Committee has identified and responding to questions. Thank you so much.
Okay, DM. No, thank you very much. I think from my side as well, I am thanking you and sincerely, really thanking you for understanding the situation that caught up with us. You must not get an impression, MEC, that this is a disorganized committee. We are very organized, actually. It's just that really there were issues of parliament, which you know as well. Sometimes they go beyond the planned time. So with those words, thank you very much for responses, and thank you very much actually for taking our recommendations and working on them so that you are able to respond to them in the manner in which we have asked you to do. Of course, time tells, we will be on the ground again. We will be able to see what you are telling us compared to what we'll be seeing on the ground. With those words, I am now releasing Western Cape Education Department. May you have a proper night.
Thank you so much, Chair. I wish everybody a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much,
Chairperson and members.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, and good night.
Are you not taking them out, Principal?
It's very cold out for the day. Next time, I chair.
But how do you take them out on the virtual platform? It was fun. He always does it. That's why I'm asking you. But is it not the people of the Western Cape? Okay, let's give over to you, DM. You can just delegate now. We are dealing with fourth quarter report of the department. Maybe she's out. Did she? Okona?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh. Where are you coming from?
No, I saw this thing.
Were you taking the people of Western Cape out? We called you DM.
DGS just interacted.
Oh, probably not network now. No, it's fine. Yeah, Let's proceed.
I saw the system kicking him out. Let's not waste time. I'm just giving over to him through you, Chair.
Thank you, DM. I need to profusely apologize, Chair. As Mr. Brown requested that we must interact with our cameras, I'm unable to do so. Maybe on a lighter note, I wouldn't like to frighten viewers who would see me in the dark and wearing my usual construction tlet. So that's on a lighter note. On a serious note, I am driving, but being part of the meeting. As DM indicated, I have requested Mr. Kuno to seamlessly take over and technically help me to lead. We're presenting the first quarterly report, Chair. This is a cumulative report, in a sense, from the first quarter report. And we're doing so in anticipation of the annual report. Two parts of this presentation. The first one would be, as usual, performance indicators and targets. I think the last brief indicator that Mrs. Nugadeli or Ms. Mbonambe that I've seen in the meeting will take over and present that. And the second part is the financial report, which will be presented by the Chief Financial Officer. This is the, in my own humble assessment and my own humble and respectful submission, the best performance ever that we've had in the department. When we presented to the audit committee, the chair of the audit committee, particularly looking at infrastructure, he said it's a neat and clean finish. We've recorded performance that goes beyond the targets that were set, but financially as well, as we know that infrastructure has been our Achilles heel for many years. We've managed to change the story and the narrative around that in this financial year. And we hope to sustain that going forward. Without any hesitation, I know that I might not get the opportunity to come back because of connectivity. Credit goes to the leadership of the minister and the deputy minister, particularly in immersing themselves in operations and making sure that every week we report to them on the performance of infrastructure. Credit goes to the portfolio committee that has been extremely vociferous. If I would be allowed, I would say even the bulldog or the tenacity that you can explain to describe the manner in which the portfolio committee has been able to hold us accountable, maybe that would explain that. And without any waste of time, I just thought of picking those up. We'll quickly just provide a summary of the performance and comparing the fourth quarter report with the previous year's fourth quarter report, give highlights quickly, and then go through program by program, looking at performance indicators and targets, and I'm going to request colleagues to just hit the punchline, given the fact that it's getting late in the evening. And then Mr. Kuno will do the same, because we've sent this to honorable members, and honorable members, as I know them, they would have fully applied their minds to this, so that we afford them time to interact with us through comments and questions. Carol or Sis Nozipo, let's start, and then followed by Mr. Kuno. If you allow, DM and Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fine to see.
Thank you, Chair. Sis Nozipo, are you doing it, or is it Carol?
Thank you, DG. Nozipo will be doing it.
Okay. Let's go. Let's hit the ground running. Let's go, Sis Nozipo. Carol, you'll need to take over. I don't see Sis Nozipo coming through. She might be caught up in load shedding and other connectivity issues. Can you jump in and do it quickly, please?
Thanks, DG. I'll try. The device I have on cannot share the screen. But basically, this is the fourth quarterly report. Nozipo is sharing the screen, so Nozipo. Would you, if you can hear me, just go to the next slide. We have the fourth quarter reports, as the DG has mentioned. It's very, I'm just going to go onto my other device.
Okay, I'm trying to move the slides. I think it's moving now. Yes. Can I move further?
I think so, yes. Please go ahead and just start. Thank you.
Okay. As already indicated, the fourth quarter report, performance information, and also there'll be expenditure part of it. And in terms of the highlights, it was the release of the results in January, and now it has been overtaken by the events by the 20th of January, and the department achieved 76.4%, and that was an improvement of 0.2% from the previous year, which is 2020. And also the minister presented or provided an opening address at the basic education Lekhutla, which was the seventh one, and in January 26 to 28, and the theme was equipping learners with knowledge and skills for a changing world in the context of COVID-19, since there is prevalence of the COVID-19. I think I'll try to, the Director General, the DG, also commenced with the annual engagements with provincial and district officials, as well as the school principals, and that was the first leg of these provincial engagements, and we will see the pictures in the next slide. And also the department welcomed the cabinet decision to allow schools to return back full-time, and that was from the 7th of Feb, because the learners had lost a lot through the lockdown regulations and so forth. The department also, or the ministry rather, was joined by USAID on the official launch of a radio drama, which is titled Life on Madlala Street, and which is aimed at strengthening the provisioning of comprehensive sexuality education lessons in schools. And by end of March 2022, which was end of the financial year, 11,856 bursaries were or had been awarded to students, thereby exceeding the target of 11,500 by 356. These are the pictures for the DG's provincial engagements, the autumn schools, as I indicated in the previous slides. And the activities of the department are structured into five programs, programs 1 to 5. In terms of the performance, this slide is the one that the G referred to, is comparing the performance for 2020-21 with the 2021-22, both quarter four. And in the financial year under review, which is 2021-22, there's a total of 10 quarterly targets with one biannual, which fell under quarter four. So technically it becomes the 11th quarterly target. So all the 11 quarterly targets were achieved. The only program that does not have the quarterly targets is program four. So the teachers are also talking to the same, the 100% achievement in 2021-22 and the 90% achievement in 2021. I'll try to hit the punchline as the DG has already indicated, and especially where we have, the department has rather achieved and already indicated that it's 11 quarterly indicators that are all achieved. We may see that there are different colors or color coding in other indicators, and that will be annual, but it's only 6 of those. But for program one, all the indicators were achieved. In terms of the staffing services, we can talk to the 91% of the designated employees that disclose the financial interest, and the remaining 9, the disciplinary action had to be taken for those who did not disclose. 16 posts were advertised, shortlistings in progress, but the 8 interviews were conducted or were held. In terms of training, 69 employees attended training in 5 programs for quarter four. And also in terms of employee health and wellness, there is an on-site doctor that comes to the department to save also time for the employees to go out to the doctors. 20 employees also received counseling services, and 1 employee attended the rehabilitation program. In terms of internships and learnerships, the department has 24 interns and 77 bursary holders. 2 grievances were reported. 1 relates to PMDS, which is Performance Management Development Scheme scores, and others relate to the shifting of employees. So 1 conciliation meeting was held under the court, in the court under review. And 10 legal cases were received. In terms of the BELA, it was presented to the cabinet in January 2022, also approved by the cabinet. But on the 8th of Feb, it was also presented to the portfolio committee. And it was resolved at the meeting that it will be subjected to the parliamentary process. Well, I think I can move to the subject pain. In terms of the contracts, there were 2 that tenders that were advertised, and they closed in January. In terms of security and asset management, which is the next heading, 962 IT equipment to the value of 9.9 million were issued to schools in various provinces. Project management, DBE collaborated with the National Treasury to conduct monitoring in the 9 provinces. to monitor the implementation of coding and robotics. So 24 schools were visited between January and 9 March 2022. In terms of financial management, I'll highlight submissions that were made to Treasury, such as the 2021 revised drawings on the AENE, which is the adjusted estimate of national expenditure. The in-year monitoring reports were completed as per PFMA. Then also the final 2022-23 ENE, which is the estimate of national expenditure, also was signed off for publication. The monthly conditional grants expenditure reports, also from PEDs, were received as per DORA. And the public entities quarterly reports were also analyzed in terms of the Treasury regulations. Then the budgets of the public entities were also reviewed during the period under review. In terms of the conditional grants, the conditional grant frameworks were revised and submitted to National Treasury. So I'm not going to mention all the conditional grants that the department is managing. Media liaison, this talks to the advisories, the media statements, which were 15 that were issued, DBE TV news bulletins broadcast, and the Information Resource Center. It's important also even for employees to read. A total of 14,533 items are at the Departmental Information Resource Center. In terms of the publications, internal publications, 105 TUDO publications were compiled. Then 6 email signatures on key events were distributed with the through the newsflash, which is also an internal communication or publication. The meetings coordinated also within the department. A total of 15 meetings were scheduled, but 9 were convened. Then there were 10 special virtual meetings which were convened, and 6 meetings could not be convened. They were scheduled, but could not be convened. Those were Broad Management 1, HEDCOM 1, and 4, Senior Management. International Relations, that talks to the partnerships the agreements, memorandum of agreements that the department has with the other countries. We'll see that the SADC was concluded. Then there were top 3 winners that were announced, and also the minister and the ambassador of the Republic of Korea handed over the following. It was sanitation to Gosemdu Motman Primary School in Eastern Cape, and the agricultural equipment in 3 Free State schools. Also, the memorandum of understanding between the DBE and Flemish Association was signed on 18 March. In terms of partnership, I'll also try to summarize. These were vetted and approved, the DigiCentral and Funda Wande. NSC, I've already touched on the release or announcement of the results, but this is talking to the partners that contributed or that sponsored the department rather. 33 schools benefited, 33 learners, and the monetary value is 2.8 million. In terms of strategic planning and reporting, institutional planning and reporting, the draft annual performance plan 2022-23 was sent to AGSA, the auditors, for review, and also to NEC, Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, in Feb. And it was subsequently tabled in Parliament on 11 March and presented to portfolio on 15 March. also other reports such as the medium-term strategic framework, priority 3, and priority 4 were submitted also to DPME and also to the lead departments. Departmental operational plan is the last bullet. The operational plans were assessed to ensure that they meet requirements as per National Treasury Instruction Note. And the departmental annual operational plan was approved on 30 March for implementation in the new financial year. ECD function shift, there had to be a shift in focus in the 7 of the work streams to fulfill or to prepare for the ECD function shift on the 5th of April. And also there was census that was conducted on the early learning programs. 42,420 ECD programs across the country. We can talk to the early grade maths research program where the service provider was appointed. Also case study, including lesson observations in 6 schools in KwaZulu-Natal, King Cetshwayo district, and also the stakeholders on Funda Wande and Tracy and Hoja were involved. Parliamentary and business processes, 95 parliamentary questions, 8 portfolio committee meetings, and then there were also portfolio committee oversights. In terms of government information technology services, 2 SLA meetings were held in January. And what is most important also is the 13 audit findings that were resolved and closed for the IT. External and internal stakeholder relations, this the unit that also arranges the meetings on behalf of the DG, those key meetings such as the Northwest in terms of the administration, the Eastern Cape, where there was also an impasse, so the DG had to be involved. And intergovernmental and technical support also in terms of those key interventions such as implementing the tracking of the infrastructure, also with the implementing agents like DBSA, and also the meetings, provincial engagements for the DG. As we can see, there were 495 provincial visits to monitor progress on infrastructure in Eastern Cape, Limpopo and KZN, as well as the 48 Saturday classes that the DG monitored. LTC is about mobilizing the community and the stakeholders also to take part in improving the learning outcomes. We can see a number of workshops, the campaigns and imbizos that were conducted during the quarter under review. And that takes us to the end of program 1. Program 2, these are the 2 quarterly indicators, and they have been achieved. I know we will see a different color coding, as I indicated earlier. These are annual targets, such as this indicator, the General Education Certificate Program. Due to funding issues, the department could not produce the annual sector report, which involves the provinces, but it was an approved pilot study report that was produced. And on this one also, which is also an annual target, we're just reflecting on the annual. We know that we are still going to formally present to the portfolio committee on the annual report. But just to touch on those, and also this indicator 2.3.7, due to the budget issues, the target could not be achieved. However, work has started in the department to communicate with the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies, and also based on the the ICASA regulations has imposed on the telecoms, also to assist the department in achieving its mandate in terms of providing the devices and the ICT resources to schools. That takes us to the end of the indicators. I'll summarize also in terms of in the narrative. The cabinet memorandum, which is the cap memo on the function shift, was approved and served at the cabinet in March. Training has started in the provinces in terms of the subsidy guidelines. There were workshops conducted, and the field work also by the service provider, Thrive by Five Index. So the baseline assessment was concluded in that case. 26 ECD practitioners were trained on the national curriculum framework. In terms of the workbooks, both Volume 1 and Volume 2 workbooks were delivered to schools or to all schools, as well as the Grade R. In terms of MST, 18 technical schools that implement or offer CAPS for technology subjects were monitored. And curriculum innovation, 17 schools were provided with ICT equipment. And 8 special schools were provided with ICT equipment, as well as the assistive devices. This is also a continuation of the METS, where 40 teachers and learning officials were trained. And also in terms of rural education, we also focus on rural schools with the aim of improving a culture of reading in rural schools. Next two slides showing the delivery of workbooks by province. This one is for Volume 1, and the next slide is for Volume 2. As we can see, it's 100%. And in terms of both FET and GET, we can highlight the subject committee meetings which were conducted in February, well, in the different subjects. And inclusive education, in terms of the screening, identification, assessment, and support, which is the CS policy, 587 officials have been trained, 2,190 ECD practitioners, and 7,770 educators. Reading the PSRIP, the materials were developed for foundation phase and also intermediate phase for all 4 terms. And there were training workshops also for subject advisors, foundation phase and intermediate phase. So second chance, we can highlight, we did see the achievement in terms of the learners that achieve the subject passes under the indicator tables. We can highlight 133 center managers and teachers, 2,300 teachers also to teach over weekends, which means this program is also providing employment opportunities to the youth. And also the learners are supported in a number of interventions. And I think the program facilitated also the development of study guides of 14 occupational subjects, 11 high enrollment subjects, and 11 creative writing. I think that's what we can highlight under the program too. That takes us to the next program, which is program 3. Program 3, there's only 2 quarterly indicators, which have both been achieved. We haven't come to those. It's, yeah, this one, 3.1.4 and 3.1.5. They have been achieved. The other indicators or targets are rather annual, but they have also been achieved. Excuse me. And we will not go indicator by indicator. The education, labor relations, and conditions of service is looking at the labor piece in the education sector, stakeholder relations, including the dispute management. So there was a joint dispute resolution process in the Gauteng and Eastern Cape PEDs. And also, I can highlight the amendment of the PEM, which is the Personnel Administrative Measures. And this is a continuation. There was also consultation on the ECD function shift from the DBE. And that is that went into the Bargaining Council, which is the PSCBC. In terms of the teachers 30 and below, there was a preliminary report which was then finalized. A total of 2,851 young and qualified educators were appointed in the post. 1,971 were permanent, 700 were temporary, and 180 were substitute or relief. In terms of the Funza Lushaka placements, and this is also talking to just quarter four, 27% of graduates, eligible graduates, were placed in provinces. That is 729 of 2,734. And there's also per province what is the percentage. We will also see that in the table and then next slides in the form of a table. In terms of filling of posts, 57% of the posts were filled, or 57% of the schools had their posts filled. Allocated post filled, and also there's a breakdown per province. In terms of the education performance management and development, as well as whole school evaluation, the integrated IQMS, quality management, and EMS, which is economic and management sciences. The PMDS and annual monitoring status report was compiled and evaluated and finalized. Teacher initial education, this is already covered under the highlights, the 11,856 Funza Lushaka bursaries that were awarded. This is the table I was talking about for the Funza Lushaka placements, which shows a breakdown per province. This one also is showing the filling of posts in 2021, quarter three, and Q4 2021. It's a comparison. Under the continuing professional teacher development, we'll highlight the preparations for the 22nd National Teacher Awards. So in terms of the preparations, a concept proposal and a plan have been prepared and shared with the PEDs. The training has also and support has been provided to the PED, also, to the Gauteng, PED, to pave way to assess teachers on online professional communities of learning courses. Curriculum research, 36 teacher centers have been monitored and the reports have been received. 9 PED reports have been received, In terms of education management and governance development, these are talking to the surveys which are conducted on the effectiveness on the school governing bodies and also on the minimum set of documents that are a required standard to be produced in schools. In terms of teacher development implementation, 40 maths educators were trained, and then in collaboration with French embassy, the department started an inquiry-based science education project called the LAMAP for 50 primary schools. And the schools were provided with science kits and training. Also, the training for accounting and economics for teachers in 18 districts was also conducted in February and March. As we move to program 4, which is planning, information, and assessment, program 4 does not have quarterly indicators or targets, rather, it's only annual, but we can see the first three have been achieved that DG, I think, touched on. These are infrastructure indicators. In fact, the target we have has been overachieved, as we can see under the deviation column. These were also achieved. These are all annual targets. This one was not achieved because of the PELS and SACMIC. These are national assessments which are not available due to the postponement of the studies. And we know the effects also of the COVID-19 that have affected some of the activities. And these were achieved. And also this one, annual target was not achieved due to two provinces which were not included because there was a problem with the monitoring instruments for the underperforming schools. However, the department is now working with the school improvement system coordinators, which have been deployed and have already started the work in May to monitor and collect the monitoring instruments so that we don't have a repeat of what happened during the 2021 financial year. And this takes us to the end of the indicator achievements in the form of the indicators. In this slide deals with the systems, education management information systems. It's about SASMs, the 300 databases and resolved 1,900 queries, and also the release of the version of the SASMs on the 17th of March. Also talks to the SASMs modernization in terms of the progress, and 8 of the 9 PEDs MIS teams were workshopped on the open MIS solution and the demonstration, including district directors' requirements on open MIS. And this will assist the department to get the data in real time. And this also talks to the learner unit records information and tracking system, the LURITS, in terms of the uploads, 25,512 schools with 1.2 million learners, and as well as educators were uploaded in term 4. We also talking to the DDD, which is the data-driven district. 19,796 schools submitted their term 4 data, and 944 schools submitted SASM's term 1 2022 data to DDD. And also the schools reality 2020 and 21 reports and the master list were published on the DBE website. Public examinations talks about the question papers, that were approved by Umalusi 296, and question papers were also proofread. It's the process more about admin exam administration. We've spoken about the release of the results under the highlights, so I'm not going to touch on that. And this one is also talking to the exam and assessment system administration, also in terms of the June examinations. Some of the issues here have been overtaken by the events. This slide is talking to the certification, the number of applications which were received, and through the online or the walk-ins, the total number of applications which were received were 2,991. Provincial and district planning and implementation support. In terms of the school principals rating the support services of the districts, four provinces submitted the survey improvement plans, and in the four PEDs that I named here. And also this talks to the Northwest intervention, as we know that it's under administration, in terms of the report. That covered the achievements, the issues outstanding, as well as the mitigating strategies. And a HEDCOM subcommittee on district also was held in March 2, and 46 members attended. Also important, ministers meeting with the district directors. This meeting was held virtually on 16 March to reflect on the year-end year-end results, and plans to address overcrowding and improving learner performance in 2022. To manage the underperformance in schools, we see an improvement in terms of a decrease on these schools that are underperforming. It was 2018 schools in 2020, and that has gone down to 1,643 in 2021. And the chronically underperforming schools also dropped from 573 to 500. The analysis, which is the last bullet of the 2021 results, targeted the circuits, and it showed an improvement in 74 of the 115 identified circuits. Also, school readiness, which was conducted 12 to 28 Feb, where a total number of 634 schools in 34 districts were monitored. Publication of the 2023 school calendar, and this was published on 18 March in the and gazetted, and also the proposed 2024 school calendar also was published. And in terms of the presidential hotline and the call center, we can see also the call resolution presidential hotline, which is 99.92%. In terms of the NIDU, we know the work of the NIDU. It has done comprehensive work in terms of programs for African languages, and also universal sounds and phonic programs that have been developed in Tshivenda, Tshitsonga, Sepedi, and Setswana. Provincial budget monitoring, APPs, the drafts, they were analyzed, and the report was compiled and shared with the PEDs, and also a response was provided and uploaded on the EQPR system on the quarterly performance. And budget standard exercise meetings also was conducted from January to Feb. And national norms and standards for school funding were published. And lastly, the funding norms and standards also implementation plan with all the dates was developed and sent to the Provincial Education Department. in terms of infrastructure, this talks to the tranche, which was the fifth installment that was transferred on 28 January to the PEDs. Then in terms of the ACIDI, the Accelerated School Infrastructure Delivery Initiative and sanitation appropriate for education, which is safe. I know in the slide we've seen the figures. These are only for quarter four. 8 schools and 8 provided with water, 466 provided with sanitation. But the annual figures we have presented already. Program 5, which is the last program, all the targets have been achieved in this program, as we can see. It's just under sports and enrichment to highlight the school sports summer games in Feb, the Pan African Schools Cup also in Feb 17 to 21, the South African Schools Athletics Championships for high schools, 15 to 18 March in Gauteng, and all the PEDs were represented, chess boards, and the SASCI, which is the South African Schools Choral Ace Fort. There were meetings in preparation for the final competition, which is taking place in a few days. In terms of social cohesion, also a Jamboree Future Choices, 11th of March, reaching 814 learners and 345 officials. Nelson Mandela Children's Parliament was on 4 to 5 March. And Protocol on Management and Reporting of Sexual Abuse and Harassment in Schools. A total number of 73 officials and SGBs attended the workshop. 98 officials, parents, and SGBs, Inkosi Albert Luthuli Oral History Program, which is also very important, and the National Heritage Council Program, a workshop, was held on 1 March. 14 officials attended. And administration of the TRC Educational Assistance, 233 applications were processed, and this assists the victims of the violence. Safety in education, the violence and bullying prevention campaign, office of the DM, and QLTC supported this campaign, and 1,159 people attended. Health promotion, I think oversight meetings were held, hearing screening was conducted, reaching 500 learners, and also the World TB Day commemoration day on 24th of March. 11 radio lessons on CSE were launched on gender-based violence on 8 Feb, and also the policy was launched on 17 February on prevention and management of learner pregnancy. Implementation of the guide for LSAs and schools on providing psychosocial support. There was a workshop to orientate the primary recipients of this policy on 22 Feb. And school nutrition, a total of 38 schools were monitored on the provision of the nutrition. The next two slides are also a provincial breakdown in terms of schools, how many schools have provided the nutritious meals to the learners. It's a total at the bottom left corner of 20,497 schools. And this slide is talking to the learners. In quarter four, it's a total of 10,052,000 learners 427. Thank you, Chair.
Good evening, Chair, and members of the committee. I'll take over on the finance side. If we can go to the next slide, please. I'll start on the third or fourth slide. Can you hear me, Chair?
I can hear,
Yes, you're audible, Mr. Kuno.
Thank you. Can we go to the next slide, Nosipho?
Now that is expanded, it doesn't want to move as CFO. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
I'm not sure if Mr. Mahada can help, can assist with the projection of the slides.
Sure.
While we're still struggling with the movement of the slides, our budget for the year was 27.239, and it's broken down into 80% being conditional grants transfers to public entities as well as other transfers, whilst the balance, which is 4.9 billion, is allocated to operational issues like compensation of employees. I see that the slide has disappeared from the screen, Chair. Mr. Mahad, are you able to assist? Yeah, if we can go to the bottom, I think the last few slides.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, so I'll just move on. I think it's this one, yeah. Just move to the next slide, if you can, and put it on presentation mode.
I'll try.
Yes, okay, let's go to, yes, this slide. Thank you. Chair, yes. This slide showed, yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. No, you've gone back to that. Yeah, this slide. Stay on this one if you can.
No, they are jumping around the slides.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We are. Yeah, thank you. Sorry about this, Chair. This slide shows our budget and expenditure per program. Our budget for the year was 27.239 billion. There was a variament of 8.6 million. And the final budget was 27.239,260 billion. Which is the same as the initial budget because the variament means you're moving money from one program to the next, so the net effect is zero. The expenditure, Chair, we spent 99.75% of our budget, which means we've underspent by about 0.25%. This is per program, Chair. All the programs spend very close to 100%. If we can move to the next slide, Nosipho. Yes, this slide, Chair, is the same as the previous one, except that on this slide, we show in the budget and expenditure per economic classification. Similar to the previous slide, the expenditure per economic classification is very close to 100% for each item. But the total effect is that we've spent 99.75% of our budget, which is 27.1 billion. Let's move to the next slide. Let's skip this one because it's a further breakdown of the economic classification. On this one, Chair, we're showing earmarked funds. The budget was 1.3 billion. We spent 98.1%, which is 1.355 billion. If we can move to the next slide. This one, Chair, is the conditional grants. The budget was 20 billion and we've transferred the whole 20 billion to provinces. As we may remember, at some stage, I'm not sure that we did present it here, but at some stage we transferred, we shifted funds from Eastern Cape on the education infrastructure grant to KZN due to the fact that the Eastern Cape was underspending and KZN was overspending. But the net effect is that we've spent 100% of the conditional grants budget. Next slide, please. This slide, Chair, shows transfers to other entities. In the middle of that slide, we're showing the total that we transferred to entities like UNESCO, ADEA, and NSFAS, and we spent 99.6% of that budget of 1.4 billion. And at the bottom of the slide, we're showing transfers to public entities like Umalusi, ETDP, CETA, and South African Council for Educators. We spend 100%, we transferred 100% of that budget of 175 million. Next slide, please. I think this is the last slide, Chair. This slide is the RCD budget or the infrastructure budget or the school infrastructure backlog grant budget. Our budget was 2.3 billion, and we spent the whole budget as the DGs indicated at the beginning of the presentation. Safe to say we underspent by a mere 6,000 rand, which was because we couldn't get invoices which equal 6,000 rand, which we could allocate, but for all intents and purposes, Chair, we spend the whole budget. Thank you, Chair. I think this is the last slide. Let's just confirm. Thank you, Chair. Over to the DG and the DM.
Thank you, Rekuno, DM. Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. Thank you, DM.
Thank you, DG, that you are still audible enough. We really appreciate it. Chair, this is the presentation of the fourth quarter. We all know that the fourth quarter is the quarter that started in January to end of March, where schools were reopening admissions and announcements of results. I mean, those are the things that were supposed to be on the highlights before, which I didn't do, because I was looking at the time and that would spend more time on the Western Cape and the returning of learners full force to all the schools and the challenges, of course, that are coming out with that. I think we'll come to the portfolio committee to present on the challenges and the overcrowding that is faced by our schools and the plan that we are coming up with to address the issues of overcrowding and vis-a-vis what happened in KZN, the floods that now are defeating all the plans that we have, because now the little that we have, you need to address the issues of floods in KZN and the Eastern Cape, but we worked with provinces to get exactly the shortages of the classrooms. And they came up with a very huge number
but we will come specifically for that to present to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson. This is the fourth quarter report.
No, thank you very much, DM, DG, and the presenters. Thank you very much for presenting your fourth quarterly report. Can I note hands, members? At once, that should be a legacy hand. Or is your hand up? We are fine, we could.
May I go through, Jim, because my hand is up.
We never had anything up to this time, Jim. Tired.
We're finished, Chair.
Honorable Advance, it's fine, you can proceed.
Okay, no, thank you very much. Chairperson, let me also appreciate this the presentation that we've received, which is the fourth quarter performance of the report of the department and their strategic objectives. Chair, I think I'm fairly covered by the presentation because when you are at the fourth quarter already, most of the work has been done. You can even tell how the annual report is going to look like. But maybe one question, Chair, on the issue of the compensation of employees on the finances or the expenditure and also goods and services. I see there's almost double the overspending on those two items. I would just want to need clarity on whether there were requirements on those two items or where does the funds that made them to be more than 200%, one of them, come from. Secondly, it's on the Funza Lushaka graduate placements. Whether the placements were done because of the vacancies that have already existed, or is the new recruitment that were done, because we understand that we lost many educators during COVID-19, especially on, I think it was last year, 2021, whether this recruitment were made to on those specific vacancies that were left, or it was the 27%, it was a new recruitment. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sukers?
Chair. Thank you, Chair. I am very aware that everybody, especially members, are very tired, and I am still preparing for speeches tomorrow, but so I'm going to ask my questions and put it forward in writing. There is, however, something that I must just raise, and I think the response, one of the responses earlier by the Department of the Western Cape actually, motivates me to say it, to ask the question and to bring something to the attention of the department. How are the directors rewarded or punished when it comes to performance assessment sessions? And how are principals of schools held accountable in terms of the performance of their schools, but specifically, not so much the principals, Chair? I want to know what happens or what performance measures are being done for district directors. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, I'm not going to ask all my other questions because of the, it is late, but I I'm asking this question because I'm encountering a problem, Chair, that when we are engaging with, especially at the district level, where there are issues of performance or queries or complaints, that we are, I do not get the satisfactory replies, and many times it is just ignored. And it is something that I am requesting that needs to be addressed. The issues that I'm addressing now are issues that are related to the Western Cape because it is where I primarily, during this period, focused on in terms of oversight. It must be addressed, and the role of Parliament needs to be explained, I think, again, because what we find is the issues, for instance, the issues on safety of schools. To give an example, we have a huge issue, We have a serious issue to the point that the school that I have now spoken to about the department, we have teachers there that are terrified of going to school, literally crying because they cannot take it anymore. So these issues that we raise at the district level or with heads of, until you come to the heads of the department, and I delay normally because I want to get the information from all the players that are involved, all the stakeholders, so that when we come to the provincial department, that we be able to give them a comprehensive background to the questions that we ask. So I just am raising this issue with the national department, so that the role of Parliament can be emphasized and that the issues around oversight can be understood at all levels, because we are not supposed to be ignored and we are not supposed to wait for officials and for officials to ignore when we are asking questions that are affecting the lives of learners and parents. Those are my comments, Chair. It's a bit longer than what I anticipated. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much, Honorable Sukers. Let me also raise just a few things. On program one, you have cited that legal services have received 10 cases. What was the nature of these cases, and which entities were involved? And then there is a slide where you are saying that on the issue of visual classroom distance learning solution, the highlight there is indicating that the minister had handed over digital content for learners in rural and urban areas to support the online learning. My interest is, who is developing the content for the online learning, and who are the service providers on the online learning? Now, to support the online learning, was there a process that was for procurement, for instance, a tender process for this online learning, for digital education content, which was provided by the department or provinces? And then the department, you stated which rural areas, which schools or which districts in the open and rural were handed the access to online learning. We need copy to be sent to the committee of the secretariat. The interest is on this online learning. And then there is the highlight also that there are three terms of references from the procurement plan that were presented and scrutinized by the bid specification committee. Of the three that were presented, one was recommended to the bid adjudication committee, and the remaining two are being revised by the project team for further review. Now, can you appraise us with regards to the selection criteria when it comes to the persons that are eligible to sit in the bid specification committees, and also provide the committee with a list of names of the people that are sitting in the in those specification committees and adjudication committees? And at this level now, do we have other schools that do not have the sufficient LTSM? And then the PILS 2021 study report for South Africa, which will be released in December this year. How does the department prepare learners to undertake such a study, the international study? Once study report is released, how is the feedback communicated to the learners who were participants in the study, the parents and the SGBs? And the participant consent form for PELS for data collection purposes, can we be able also to be given the form, the consent form, so that we are able to see how does it look like for both PELS and TEAMS? In terms of the underperforming schools, there is a slide which spoke of underperforming schools. What type of support is the department giving to those underperforming schools? And I take note of what the DM has raised of the overcrowding, which is one of the impact, of course, with regards to under performance in our schools. DG, are you holding accountability sessions with your officials, and when are you doing that as the Director General in the department? So those are the issues from. I am going to allow DM to lead the responses.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the questions. Let me allow the officials to start, then I will conclude. I don't know if DG is still in the meeting. DG?
I'm here, DM. I'm happy that this meeting is keeping me company. Because I'm still working. Yeah, at school number 16 of 27.
This time?
Yes, DM. We only finish when we are done with our target for the day. It's not the time of the day. Yeah. Okay. Let me also applaud the honorable members. I was getting surprised that we wouldn't get comments and questions, because I think that this committee never disappoints DM in terms of giving us feedback by way of asking comments and questions. Because I indicated that I'm driving, I might have not been able to note all of them, but colleagues are in the meeting, branch heads, they will help me to respond. Let me start with Honorable Adun's questions. The first one had to do with Funza Lushaka placement, whether it's new recruits or whether it was the replacement of educators. It's both. As the minister indicated this afternoon during the budget vote at the NCOP, we have seen a phenomenal increase in enrollment in 2020 to 2021 up to 2022, despite the impact of COVID-19, as the minister explained. It is really not true that we had lost about 500,000 learners. What really happened is that parents kept learners from coming to school and it distorted the actual numbers. And increasingly, they were able to release them. And when we did the actual counting, it indicated that our overall enrollment actually increased from 12.6 million to 13.1 million, which is roughly about 400,000 more learners into the system that got in. So you needed to appoint new teachers, but you also needed to replace those who demised through COVID-19, but also issues of social distancing then necessitated that we appoint more teachers. And that accounts for new appointments through Funza Lushaka. And I'm sure Mr. Pareaki could add to this. There's also an issue around, the chair also asked that question, online learning. Online learning or digital content has been developed with service providers who are involved in the network operation, our telcos in the main. The former Deputy Minister Surti started this process. It did not involve any money from the department, but rather this was done gratis. And officials of the department have also been involved in the development of the digital content. So in essence, we haven't put out a tender in this regard, Chair. It was purely a collaboration between the sector meaning DBE plus provinces, and then the telcos, who went on a very big project of the development of digital content for online learning. This is available for various grades. We've even digitized even workbooks. A number of workbooks have been digitized. So that's where we are, and our intention is that going forward, we virtually digitize all your traditional text materials that are used in the system. Textbooks, there are still learners and schools that would still have shortages of textbooks, and we can provide this information in detail. We do collect it annually and check on the retention and textbook recovery, and that information can be made available also to members of the committee. And then the chair also asked about BID committee members, the criteria. It's essentially experience in doing these things, but BID specification in the main would also involve people in the line function, because it's about details of bids that will have to be put out. And people have to be clued up with details of the line function. And Mr. Kuno can add in that respect. The BID evaluation, of course, we look at the experience And we also provide training to those who are appointed in this committee. There is no qualification at all, but safe to say that it's essentially people who would have served in the public service. I also served when I was in the province, both in the Northwest and the Eastern Cape. So it's essentially about you come in having no experience at all, but over time you accumulate experience. So, DM, I think those are, Honorable Sukar, I fully agree that we'll continue to educate one another about the role of Parliament, that parliamentarians play a very important role, and I could be asked to provide information or to provide the explanation. The law provides for that. It could be a national, provincial, you could be summoned to any of the spheres of Parliament, so to speak, to either provide information or to go and present or to go and explain. We'll educate all our colleagues that we don't have the luxury of ignoring parliamentarians, because they represent constituencies, they represent people of our country, and therefore they need to be given the respect that they deserve. We'll engender that understanding, Honorable Sukers, will do our best to do that. Performance management, all employees in the department are assessed through a performance management development system covering all employees in the public service, starting from the lowest in the echelon up to the highest in any level or any part of our organization, including our entities. So that's what is happening there. So directors, performance of schools form part of their assessment as well. So that would be included in their PMDS, including myself and anybody who's involved in the line function that involves the performance of schools. Underperforming schools, there's a comprehensive package for underperforming schools, including mentors. We even appoint mentors for them. We appoint mentors for underperforming districts, and that has worked exceptionally well. Those districts improved phenomenally. But we also deal with underperforming schools as provided for by the South African Schools Act, where school management teams and governing bodies are called to account by the head of the department. We also write to individual provinces to submit a report that they've acted on schools that underperform. And we've come up with a threshold of underperformance in the system. Dear, maybe I must leave it there, and maybe Mr. Padayaki and Mr. Kuno could come in before DM comes in, and any of the colleagues to cover what I might have not covered, which could have been raised by honorable members. But I remain eternally grateful to each and every one of them and your leadership, DM, and the hard work of the team from DBE. Thank you very much. Mr. Padayaki, could you please come in, and Ms. Kuno?
Thank you, DG, and good evening to the honorable members. I think on the question of the FUNSA, the 27% for the fourth quarter in the main will include some of the previous year's FUNSA, but will be for this fourth quarter, the graduates who have completed in 2021. In fact, to just inform the members, that percentage has gone up in the last, say, 2 weeks ago, to about 40%. So that will appear in the first quarter for this financial year. And just to indicate that the loss of educators due to COVID, which was around 3,000 to 4,000, we probably, it is tragic, but because you have instances of the FUNSA, which is about 4,000 educators that graduate each year, plus there's another 20,000 that basically come out of higher education through other forms of funding, including their own. So that is why we do not see the impact of those losses, although there are still vacancies because of other reasons, such as the specializations in certain of those vacancies. So I'll pause there. Thank you, DJ.
Kuno, your input, please. Thank you, Mr. Pareaki.
Thanks, DG. Let me start with the addition that you wanted me to make, DG, on the membership of the BEAT committees. You are right, DG, to say there is no experience. It's people within the public service, but we do provide from the supply chain management side. We do provide training for members before they join the various committees. So by the time members join the committees, they would have had the training that goes with the type of committee that they would have been appointed to. The other question Honourable Member Adjons asked related to this slide 123, where it's showing that on compensation of employees, there was a 152% spending, and on goods and services, there was 225% spending. This slide is basically on the SIBG grant or the ACID grant. What ordinarily happens with the ACID grant is that we get the whole grant from Treasury, and internally within the grant, there's a breakdown between capital and non-capital expenditure or budget. Now, within the grant, we are not allowed to make variants as such ordinarily from non-capital to capital. But at the end of the day, what we need to make sure of is that the total grant does not overspend. And that's why on this slide specifically, one would see that under buildings and other fixed assets, there was underspending of 172 million, which covered the overspending on the compensation of employees as well as goods and services. Now, we should link this slide to slide number 118, if you could go to that slide, Nosipho, it's the previous two or three slides, so that we go back and retrace our steps to talk to the main question of environment. If you could, 118, not this one. Okay, I think it's this one. It's not this one, it's I think it's 116. Yes, I think it's this one. Pay economic classification, yeah. Maybe go back one step, go to 115. Let me see. Yeah. This is per program. Yeah, sorry, go to the previous one. Sorry, I was just checking. Sorry about that. Yeah, if one looks at this slide, which is the overall budget and expenditure per economic classification, the compensation of employees, whereas on the ASCII slide, it shows overspending because of the fact that overall the compensation of employees was not overspending. That's where the ASCII underspending sort of got absorbed in, or overspending, let me put it that way. The one area where we still remain with overspending is on goods and services. And the reason for that is because at some stage we moved money from ASCII to workbooks through treasury approval. But when one gets to the main question of I think the what's that the environment the first slide, which is per program, if you go to a slide per program, the slide per program, because yes, this slide. Yeah, sorry, this one. If you look at this slide, because of the environments that have been done, none of the programs are overspending. And that is a requirement of the PFMA to say unauthorized expenditure is where the total vote overspends. For example, if we would have spent more than 100%, more than the 27.239 billion, then we would land into over expenditure, which is unauthorized expenditure. That's if the main vote is overspending. But the second part of unauthorized expenditure is if main divisions of a vote, any main division of a vote is overspending, and main divisions are limited to the programs. So the intention of passing that column, that the environment column, the 8.6 million, is to make sure that any overspending program gets compensated by shifting funds from an underspending program to an overspending program, which is allowed in terms of the PFMA, and the limit there is 8%. So in the final analysis, there may be overspending in under economic classification in one area or another. But in the final analysis, the as long as the environments are done such that there's no overspending of any of the programs, or there's no overspending on the main vote, on the vote itself, then there shouldn't be a concern, basically, in terms of the PFMA, if I may put it that way. So those are the two questions. But the last question that I would want the Advocate Misa to deal with your permission, Chair, DG and DM, is the question on legal services, where the Chair asked about the 10 cases, what are the nature of the cases, and what are the entities involved. Advocate Misa, if you are still on the call, can you take this question? Thanks, Chair. Thanks, DG. Thanks, DM.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kuno. Good evening to the Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the DM, DG, and all senior managers on the call. Indeed, as legal services, we did receive 10 cases in the last quarter, and we will note that there were no relief sought against Minister in 2 of the 10 cases, and in 4 of the 10 cases, we defended the matters based on the fact that Minister was wrongly cited. As you know, Minister is cited as a respondent by virtue of being the executive authority for basic education, and thus she gets cited in almost every case that emanates even in the provinces. So just a quick summary. As you're aware, we had the Annelies Spies case regarding the matric results and the decision with regards to the release of the matric results, and this was finalized. Then we had the Walswit S. Dube matter that emanated in KZN, where the plaintiff sued for damages, and again, you know, we defend in this matter based on the fact that minister was wrongly cited. Then we had the Johanna Hopgood matter, and this matter was also finalized, where this matter entailed that the applicant applied for an order that the department issue her with a replacement matric certificate, and this emanated in the Gauteng province. Then in Thando Nkosi matter, the applicants wrote their matric in 2021 at a private distance learning school, and they applied for an order that the distance learning school resubmit or correct their SBA marks in respect of three subjects. And in this matter, no relief was sought against the minister, and a notice to abide was filed. Then the Meshack Mahudu matter, which emanated in Gauteng, the respondents, amongst others, urgently applied for the replacement and repair of the circuit breakers and earth leakages at Kalikstal Secondary School, and to ensure that all electric connections at the school are safe for use. And so we are addressing this particular issue with the Gauteng Provincial Education Department. And then we have the Sithole case. And again, this case originated in Gauteng. And the plaintiff sued for damages in the amount of 1.8 million rand on account of injury sustained as a result of an alleged assault by educator. Again, we filed a special plea. We asked the state attorney to file a special plea for the department, as minister is wrongly cited in this matter. Then we have the Busi Musi Mbokota matter, and this originated in Gauteng. And again, the plaintiff here sued for damages in the amount of 500,000 on account of injury sustained as a result of an alleged assault by an educator. And this matter, again, we asked the state attorney to file a special plea. The Kula community development matter, which originates in the Eastern Cape, and the applicants applied for an order that the Eastern Cape Education Department provides schools in the province with stationery and textbooks, and this matter has been finalized and addressed in the Eastern Cape. Then we had the Intombi Mama Koko matter, and here the applicant applied for an order that, amongst others, the respondents be interdicted from appointing a principal at Centurion Primary School. Again, this emanates in Gauteng, and we defended the case on the basis that minister was wrongly cited. And then we have the Luiso matter, where which emanates also in the Eastern Cape, where the applicant applied for an order to interdict the Eastern Cape Provincial Department from constructing toilets at the school, as they believe that the smell will be detrimental to his health and would constitute a nuisance, as it was alleged that his house is located near where the toilets are to be constructed. And in this particular
matter, sorry, Advocate Misa, maybe we should forward the list. I know that there's an avalanche.
DG, that's the last of the matters. That was the 10th matter. And those are the 10 cases that the department received in the last quarter. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, DG and DM.
Thank you. Thank you, Advocate Mesa. Chair, on this issue that Honorable Sukers asked about consequence management, especially by the district directors, as far as I'm concerned, there's no official that does not face consequence management, starting from even subject teachers, principals, circuit managers, district directors, up until minister and the deputy minister, of course, that we account to you. We always come to you and account on maybe poor performance by particular districts, and we even explain the plans that we have to assist those provinces and the districts. So, yes, I heard that the question that was directed specifically to DG, what is he doing? In most of the cases, we deal with cases in the departments where people are charged, some suspended, some even lead to expulsion. That's why we have cases even in the CCMA and labor courts. So as PG indicates that maybe if we need that information in full, that we can freely give to the portfolio committee. But there is consequence management. But if we can look at the system like we always present, that there is a betterment. The system to us is improving. It's just that as South Africans, most of the time we like criticizing ourselves too much. Most of our learners that are sent abroad to study, very few, if none, that come bare-handed or empty-handed unless they absconded. We sent students to Cuba, our students are all over the world, and they are doing exceptionally well and extremely very well. But when you find South Africans, we criticize ourselves, even in our own universities, they perform. But sometimes we feel like, no, the education of South Africa is a substandard education. But to me, Chair, seated here, our education is not a substandard, because I received many feedbacks from abroad about our students as to what do you give them. They are so brilliant. So if they passed their grade 12 here in South Africa and go for tertiary education in other countries and they applaud it, it means there is something good in our education, yet we still need to strengthen. There's nothing that is perfect. We need to strengthen. That's why we appreciate when the portfolio committee tells us that you are not doing good here, you are not assisting the country in maths and science, you are not doing this, and we are trying to correct when the portfolio committee tells us about those things that we're not doing well as the department. But generally, Chair, I think the colleagues have covered most of the questions. I can see Honorable Sukers said she felt that because it looks like we all don't want to sleep, she can ask further questions. We are all tired. The fact of the matter is like that. And tomorrow we have a long day again in the plenary, but we cannot sleep if members are not satisfied. Thank you, Chief.
No, thank you, DM, but I see now it's Dr. Polia and after the
Honorable Chair, if you would allow me, good evening, Honorable Chair, good evening, DM, members of the committee, and good evening to our DG. I think there was one question presented by you, Honorable Chair, regarding the PEARLS and TIM studies, if you would allow me to respond to that, Chair.
Yes, and the DG also must respond to my question about how is he holding you guys accountable?
Yeah. Honorable Chair, with regard to the question on TIMS and PEARLS, the question you posed was, how is feedback provided to individual schools? What I just want to state, Honorable Chair, is that in both the TIMS and PEARLS studies, these are national studies, and the schools that are selected are representative of the country. So If a school is selected to be part of the TIM study, the focus is not the school, but the school is reflecting the performance, or the collection of schools will be reflecting the performance of the country as a whole. So as a result, we do not provide feedback to individual schools, but the report would be a national report, and the statistics will also be broken down into provinces where the samples are representative of the province. So individual school responses are not provided. But what is the power of both studies is that we come up with a diagnostic report, and the diagnostic report looks at the released test items, and we look at how did the country as a whole perform on these items, which are internationally benchmarked. And with regard to each of these items, we then provide a very detailed report which goes out to each school in terms of indicating to them what are the areas of weaknesses and diagnosing exactly the specific concept or areas of weakness and providing remediation. So that's where the school come in, but not the specific school, but looking at schools as a whole. And then, Honorable Chair, you also requested a copy of the parental consent form, and we can make that available to you for the most recent study, which is the Pearl study, where the data was collected last year, and the report will be released at the end of this year, and we could make available the consent form. Thank you, Honorable Chair, for allowing me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Poilier. DM, you know, when we have started to work with the department in 2019, the department was at 61% in terms of performance, and today you are at 100%. And this is very good. Well done to all of you individually and collectively. This is the greatest movement ever. It's something that I think all of us need to pride ourselves on. Congratulations. And hopefully that when we deal with quarterly reports, this is the type of percentage that we will continue seeing in the department. Department of Basic Education is doing very well. Of course, it's a very big sector, and you can't get to be perfect in everything. Actually, you know, there is a meeting I was in yesterday. I think DM, you were also there in the week. One had actually realized that there is still a lot in the sector that we must actually do an oversight on. But one is pleased, let alone probably we are looking like we are asking funny questions, but we are impressed. We are impressed as well as the oversight body by the type of performance that you have presented today in this committee. Tired as we are, but at least we need to make mention of that. Well done to all of you, DMDG, and to all of you that are here and that are not here, that are working, that we don't even see when they put everything together, so that you can have this type of result. And with those words, let me probably release you. It's 22:34. Let me release you, and you can leave us to just finish some few businesses before we sleep tonight. Thank you very much for spending this time and sacrificing your families. We don't normally do it. I know other committees are used to work this late, but us, we don't necessarily do it. But
Chairperson,
I'm going to give you, Principal. We just have to do it. Are you coming from your blankets now? You are back, or what is happening, Principal?
No. I wanted to say it's very late and very scary outside. Allow me to walk them out now, you see, for their safety.
Yeah, no, that's
no, we just, no. We just need company. We are fine.
I think from the blankets.
You're in the bush, DJ.
I mean Tawangulu. That's where we are working.
Listen to everything, Chairperson. No sleep here. You see, yes. Just that I'm tired.
Lenin, can you help us with the minutes of the previous meeting? Let's quickly go through them.
Thank you, Chair, and good night.
Thank you.
Bye, thank you. DM. Bye.
Good evening.
Good night, everybody. Go and sleep. See you tomorrow in Parliament physically.
And we must really go now physically, you know. These are the minutes of the 7th of June. We had a meeting on virtually where we have considered the minutes of the 31st, and then we had briefing by the department on 5x5 survey and the ECD census 2021. Page 1 was the attendance, and 2 and 3, and then we opened the meeting, which was moved by Honorable at once and seconded by Honorable Letsie. We had the presentation from the department, which was done by Sonia. It's always this case or okay, whatever, but it was done by Sonia. And also, Jan Schenk briefed us on ECD. And then we had our questions and observations. And then we had responses, which were led by the minister, the DG, and then we had Sonia and Jan responding. And then we concluded the meeting by thanking everybody. And then we had considered then the minutes of the 31st of May. And then under matters arising, we had an issue that we were supposed to join to have a meeting with higher education on Wednesday, the 8th of June, which we had and had to, or which we did not actually have. And then on another matters arising, we had the issue of the Bella Bill. We just reminded members that the closure is 15th of June. And then we also asked that the officials must rather assist us on the oversight visit to Mpumalanga, where we had agreed that we are going to make a presentation thereof in this meeting, because we are looking into the when we come back for the third term in August to go to Mpumalanga. And then our meeting adjourned at 12:19. And then we just mentioned that the meeting of the 14th will end at 1800 hours. I mean, we'll start at 1800 hours today, which started at 7:10 actually. Any correction? In the absence of corrections, can we members to adopt the minutes?
My hand is up, Jefferson, unconspicuous though. I rise to indicate that this minutes appears to be a true reflection of what we discussed on that day in question. I therefore move that we accept them.
Thank you very much, Honorable Murwa Tsaitla. Any seconda?
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sewela. Llewellyn, can you flight then the Mpumalanga oversight? Of course, like I've said on matters arising, the issue of ourselves and the head did not materialize. So on Mpumalanga oversight, members, we are looking into the 14th to the 19th of August, and we are actually looking into all members traveling. It's going to depend at that time. And the travel day will be Sunday, the 14th of August. Everybody will be traveling to Mpumalanga from their locations. We will be sleeping at Southern Sun, M020, and Elspruit. On Monday, we will be shuttled to the schools, and those are the schools that we will be visiting in Khanzeni district. We will be in Ngomazi local municipality. On Tuesday, we'll still be in Khanzeni, but then in Bushbuck Ridge local municipality. And those are the schools that we are going to be visiting. On Wednesday, we are going to be in Hartsebande district. And then on Thursday, we are going to be in Hartsebande still. You'd remember we had agreed that when we go to a province now, we are doing that one province, and then we come back. And then on Friday morning, it's going to be a traveling day for members to their home base. So it looks like this. Our oversight looks like this. Any questions, or are we fine with how does the program looks like of the oversight?
Maybe just a question, Chair.
Yeah.
It's true that the program is clear and the dates attached thereof. But I want to know that throughout our stay, will we be putting up at one place in Nelspruit for all these days, counting the area that we are going to cover? Thank you.
Llewellyn, can you come in?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Morales Sefta, for the question. No, we will, as per the program, we will sleep over on Sunday evening at the Southern Sun in Emlotweni. We will also sleep there on Monday evening. Come on the Wednesday, on the Tuesday, sorry, we will visit those schools in the Bushbuck area. There's, when I spoke to the MEC's office, they were of the view that we might want to spend the Tuesday evening around Aventura. And then on the Wednesday, we will be in Southern Sun in Witbank, because we will be closer to the schools that we need to visit in that area. On the Thursday, we hope to finish at around 2-ish in the afternoon, for us to then maybe make our way down or up to Owar Tambo. We'll probably stay over at the Southern Sun at Owar Tambo on Thursday evening, giving members enough time for travel on the Friday morning, especially those that have to do link flights. But that is, so we're not at one location for the duration of the stay for the week. So it's quite one or two of two hotels that we will be staying in.
I'm covered, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, I just didn't mention that our meeting with the provincial leadership will be on Monday in the afternoon. So, agreed? Members, do we agree? We agree, I think.
We agree, Chair. Agreed.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Adons. So then we will allow you, our support staff, to work on the itinerary then for Mpumalang. As for the issue of the ballot bill, we have agreed on the approach that we will wait for tomorrow, and then we will call a meeting. We will apply for a meeting because it's going to be constituency. We will apply for that meeting very soonest, so that we agree on a way forward after the closing date tomorrow. With that as it may, I think we are done. We have closed the meeting.
Executive Chairperson, we are tired, and good night to everyone. Hesh.
Good night, everybody.
It was a marathon of a day. How about we two? Good night, Mulas too.
Good night, everybody.
Mama Sukers, thank you very much, my dear.
Good night.
Recording stopped.